refit that system with different types of weapons while we're doing maintenance on it takes some time. So we're working as fast as we possibly can. We've reduced the timeline significantly to get that asset rolling.
Armed Forces Minister Al Kearns on LBC yesterday. Meanwhile, in the US, they came up with yet another reason for those bombing missions. We'll give you more details on that. In other news,
failed asylum seekers and their families will be paid up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days and go to a safe country as part of a radical new trial. I'm LBC's Natasha Clark with the exclusive.
Plus, the water firm that's pleaded guilty over parasite outbreak that left 143 people sick, and the MP's husband arrested in the latest China crisis of a spying inquiry. News on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, it's reported the first government chartered flight due to bring Britons home stranded in the Middle East hasn't taken off as planned. It was due to depart Oman last night, but is now understood to have been rescheduled for later today. Other commercial flights have been taking off from the region. These people arrived back in Edinburgh from Dubai last night and spoke to LBC.
It's the odd explosion going off on the beach when you're just trying to relax on a holiday. We've already been there for like 9 days, and then it just so happened the last few days just all hell kicked off.
How are you feeling to be back in Scotland
now? I'm South African, but I've never been so happy to be home in Scotland, let me tell you that.
We weren't really near where what was going on, but you could hear explosions. Other than that, that was it.
Iran's foreign minister says the US will bitterly regret the precedent it set by sinking an Iranian frigate off Sri Lanka. It's reported at least 80 Iranian soldiers were killed after an American submarine torpedoed their warship in the Indian Ocean. Speaking at the White House last night, President Trump said the US is doing very well in the conflict.
Somebody said, on a scale of 10, where would you rate it? I said about a 15. We're going to continue to do well. We have the greatest military in the world by far. I think we have great support. And I think if we didn't do it first, they would have done it to Israel and give us a shot if that was possible.
Sir Keir Starmer's under fresh pressure this morning to deploy defensive capabilities quicker to the Middle East. An RAF base on Cyprus was struck by a drone on Sunday, with further attempted attacks intercepted on Monday. Ministers have told LBC that work is underway to refit the warship HMS Dragon, but it won't leave the UK until next week. One other story, LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers and their families will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. Around 50 families are expected to take part in the trial, which could eventually save £20 million a year. It's based on a similar system in place in Denmark. The Home Secretary, Shabar Mahmood, spoke to LBC on a trip to Copenhagen last month.
What I've seen here in Denmark is a more generous offer to incentivise people to leave the country does work, because 95% of the returns that you see from Denmark are voluntary, and people do take use of that incentivised package. It means that they do leave the country, and that's very important.
You can read more on the LBC app. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,567. It closed up 83 yesterday. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.14. LBC weather, dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
We all love a good meal, but there's no feeling quite like cooking one. Whether it's everyone at yours for a Sunday roast or after-school sausage and mash. Quick, simple, gone in minutes. One thing brings it all together. Ah, Bisto. The original gravy. Rich, smooth and unmistakable since 1908. When the gravy makes the dish, make the gravy. Ah, Bisto.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 3 minutes after seven, Thursday the 5th of March. A statesmanlike performance and speech from the Prime Minister at last. In the past, I have to say, he's been a little bit more Vicky Pollard, yeah but no, but yeah but no, than Winston Churchill. But he did strike at least the tone he sees. But has he got it right? Defining the special relationship. By the way, historians, 80 years to the day, 80 years to the day that Winston Churchill used that expression in Missouri in a speech there. He called it a close relationship there before that. Special relationship is 80 years. We see the definition through the eyes of the British Prime Minister. Has he got it right? clearly what we haven't got right is the deployment of the Dragon. It'll be an HMS Dragon. It'll be a long time before that roars. And meanwhile, in Cyprus, two areas, two bases are effectively being protected by the Greeks, and the French are on their way. How embarrassing is that? Back here in the UK,
a vigil was held in Manchester last night, mourning the death of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. At the same time, others were partying and celebrating his death. I'm LBC's Chris Chambers with the details.
Plus, as you heard on the LBC News Bulletin, confusion reigns over just how many Brits we are managing to get back who are stranded in the region. Yvette Cooper told the Commons earlier this week,
we have unprecedented numbers of British nationals in the region, and I will continue to update members and affected British nationals as the situation evolves.
Meanwhile, unbelievably, with the world, or certainly the Middle East in this conflagration, suggestions that we could be edging towards some kind of limited world war, some, not all, some of our MPs decide to...
Here we go, we're going to turn...
make it up, but they decide to cha-cha-cha with some Strictly Come Dancing stars. In other news, it's another China crisis. Extraordinary story. The Labour MP's husband arrested on suspicion of being a Chinese spy. Well, never mind Red's under the bed. It appears now the Reds could be in the bed. And those asylum reforms in full detail, including the exclusive LBC line about payments that could be made.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Until yesterday, the PM's approach towards the crisis in the Middle East has, I think, fairly been characterised as one of hesitance and mixed messages. The latest embarrassment, of course, coming yesterday with the news that HMS Dragon, the British warship based in Portsmouth, and it will be based in Portsmouth until at least next week before it sets sail. But before that, we saw Sir Keir Starmer set out Britain's involvement in the conflict, set out his view of the special relationship, I remind you, 80 years old today, as he addressed MPs in the House of Commons during PMQs.
Since Saturday morning, multiple F-35s and Typhoons have been in operation not just in the Middle East, but across Cyprus. Further missions were flown overnight, Typhoons defending in particular Qatar, and F-35s defending other regional parties. We're resupplying our air defence missiles today. Wildcat helicopters with anti-drone capabilities will be in Cyprus this week, and HMS Dragon will be deployed to the Mediterranean.
And for many, and I include myself here, this was the key moment as he sought to defend his relationship and define that relationship, special relationship with the US.
American planes are operating out of British bases. That is the special relationship in action. British jets are shooting down drones and missiles to protect American lives in the Middle East on our joint bases. That is the special relationship in action. Sharing intelligence every day to keep our people safe. That is the special relationship in action. Hanging on to President Trump's latest words is not the special relationship in action.
And while many might question, again, I include myself, whether that is the right decision, at least we now see it laid out, set out as he defines it. And that gives us at least the basis to move forward. But then embarrassment later in the day, as Armed Forces Minister Al Carnes told my LBC colleague Tom Swarbrick, HMS Dragon has yet to set off for the Eastern Med because it needs a refit.
To refit that system with different types of weapons while we're doing maintenance on it, weapons and welding don't often go well together, takes some time. So we're working as fast as we possibly can. We've reduced the timeline significantly to get that asset rolling.
We'll get the military side in a moment with Colonel Simon Diggins, a defence analyst. But first to the political aspect. Ben Judah was special advisor to David Lammy during his time as Foreign Secretary and joins me now. We see the position, the stance of Sir Keir Starmer. There's been criticism, effectively, since the entire weekend. Does he emerge now with a clear line defined in your view? Good morning.
I think the most important thing for listeners to understand is that we have an America problem, and that our closest ally that we've built our entire security around has become profoundly erratic, unreliable and unpredictable. It's incredibly hard for a prime minister or a foreign secretary or a defence secretary to do policy making in this moment when the United States is setting out multiple contradictory justifications for the war. And there are actually even reports that the Israelis are unsure whether or not the Americans are engaging in secret talks with the Iranians or not. That, for me, is the key thing happening right now.
there's certain to be pressure coming down over the next days or possibly, God forbid, weeks or months. How should Sir Keir rebuff it?
I think that if I was still serving government, I would just ban the phrase, the special relationship, from government comms. It's weak, it's needy, it sets the wrong expectations. The fact is that we've never followed America everywhere. We didn't join America in Vietnam. There'd been a whole history of disagreements, you know, going all the way back to 1776. The special relationship is not a political relationship where we do whatever America does. It's a relationship between peoples. And that means that no matter what happens in British political history, you end up in a situation where reconciliation comes incredibly quickly. Harold Wilson said no to Vietnam. People don't even remember it because the people and business and all of the great institutions were so keen to get cooperating again afterwards. And that will happen again.
Noting that this government has only been in power for 18, 19 months, they've inherited 14 years of another administration. What has this conflict shown us about the state of our armed forces, Mr. Judah?
I think that this conflict is proving yet again that the government is absolutely right that we need to raise defence spending, but also that we need to find a way to borrow with our European allies so that borrowing becomes cheaper. The government's currently been...
Sorry, do you mean borrowing kit, just to clarify?
No, I mean borrowing funds.
Borrowing funds, right, go ahead, sorry, yeah, go ahead. Right.
And, you know, there are basically two things that you need to do. The first is just spend more, but also, given the way that kind of economics work, we're going to have to borrow a lot more money in order to fund the build-up that we need.
So why was that not addressed by Rachel Reeves, Mr. Judah?
Well, she's been pushing a plan. She's been pushing a plan with European allies. The Prime Minister's been looking at a plan. The thing is that we haven't nailed it. There are lots of different plans going around, one by the Canadians, one by the Europeans. What we really need is like a common European defence bank. That will mean the borrowing costs will be much lower, and then we can get a lot more funds to build up our armed forces. There needs to be a lot of diplomatic creativity there. It's not just a question of spending more at home. It's getting cheaper borrowing of our European allies in order to be able to spend even more at home.
Lastly, what does this say about the wisdom or otherwise of the so-called Chagos deal in which I understand you were involved?
Well, one of the things that we've seen is that Donald Trump isn't engaging in the old-fashioned foreign policy where you don't interfere in somebody else's internal affairs, you put Western unity first. He's really doing foreign politics. He sees himself as the leader of the global right, the leader of forces that include, you know, Nigel Farage in this country, and, you know, sort of all the other sort of right-wing parties. He's picked up their slogans, and right. He's now been battering the Prime Minister, even with what seem to be commentaries on the recent by-election in Gorton and Denton.
But my question is the wisdom of the Chagos deal. Does that now need to be reviewed, Mr. Judah?
I think that the logic of that deal will come back. That deal has so many supporters inside the American military system for very good and important national security reasons that it will come back at some point. For now,
what do you mean it will come back? It will be reviewed, do you mean?
I'm certain that either when the Democrats come to power or when Trump changes his mind again, the military logic, the intelligence logic of that deal means that it will come back in some form. For now, I think it's on ice.
Grateful for your time. Ben Judah, thank you. You served as Special Advisor to David Lammy as Foreign Secretary, 13 after 7. Listening to that, Defence Analyst Colonel Simon Diggins, who served as UK Defence Attaché to Afghanistan. And if I can, sir, I'll pick up on one of the questions I put to my other contributor. What does this say about the state of our armed forces in your view? Good morning.
Nick, good morning to you. I think we're in a disastrous state. I mean, how we managed to contrive to have all six Type 45 air defence destroyers in dock at the same time, three of them which are basically in kit form, as a start of a turn. And then given the rising tensions that we've got in the Middle East, why did somebody not call it and just say, right, can we get one of them at least on a ready-to-move basis so we can get it out there? We removed our last ships from the Gulf in December and January of this year. We haven't got a single ship in the Mediterranean. We don't have a single ship in the Indian Ocean while we've been sitting in the middle of an international crisis. I think the worst state we've ever been in.
Colonel, this is something I don't understand. I was privileged to go on various operations with Sir Ben Wallace when he was Defence Secretary. I went down to Salisbury Plain and others, and every military bloke I spoke with said, yes, defence is coming back. Sir Ben is the bloke. We're getting the cash we need. Now, just a few years on, we can't even scramble a boat to Cyprus. What have I got wrong?
I think the recognition that more needs to be done has been around for a while. If like the intellectual conceptual reason has been there, but we saw even last week, I mean, Rachel Reeves with the spring statement, not a single mention about defence apart from the kind of the general bromide that defence expenditure has got to rise. And we heard it again from Ben Judah just then, talking about, oh, we need to sort out the European Defence Bank. No, we don't. We managed to borrow money in order to pay for COVID. This is a crisis, a strategic crisis. Bahrain, the UAE, all those countries are saying you cannot rely on Britain. We are currently operationally irrelevant in terms of what we're doing in the Gulf. We're relying on the French and the Greeks in order to provide protection to Cyprus, and we're becoming strategically irrelevant as well. Regardless of whether or not you think we should or should not have got involved with the Americans in the attack on Iran, what we should have been doing is defending our allies and defending them vigorously, and we can't even do that. We can't even defend ourselves.
Colonel,
lastly,
are you ready to sign up to Sir Keir Starmer's definition of the relationship with the United States and how he sees it, or do you feel we're letting down an ally in a time of need?
Well, we're letting down ourselves. I mean, the idea that somehow the Iranian terror regime is not our enemy is a complete nonsense. They have conducted attacks on this country in terms of attempting to intimidate people. Iran TV was forced out there, spread terror around the Middle East, and were absolutely on the trajectory to acquire a nuclear weapon in the shortest possible time. They were our enemy as much as they are the Israelis and the Americans. So we have failed miserably.
Grateful for your time. Thank you, Colonel. Colonel Simon Diggins, defence analyst and former UK defence attaché to Afghanistan. We now see his definition at last, and I will say it was statesman. I don't necessarily agree with this definition, but it was statesmanlike to lay out as he sees how we work with the United States. Are you supportive? Do you think Sir Keir found the right tone, or are you even more depressed? And as for the deployment of HMS Dragon, well, red faces over the dragon, isn't it? That is just beyond embarrassing, surely. In a related story,
a vigil was held in Manchester last night mourning the death of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. At the same time, others were partying and celebrating his death. I'm LBC's Chris Chambers with the details.
And in other news,
failed asylum seekers and their families will be paid up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days and go to a safe country as part of a radical new trial. I'm LBC's Natasha Clark with the exclusive.
All that and more to come after the news. 7:16 LBC News headlines from Dominic Ellis.
It's reported the first government-chartered flight due to bring Britons home stranded in the Middle East hasn't taken off as planned. Sir Keir Starmer's coming under fresh pressure to deploy defensive capabilities quicker to help UK allies in the Iran conflict. And LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers and their families will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. LBC weather dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Some outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very foggy this morning. Lots of flights at London City Airport have been cancelled and the Woolwich Ferry is also suspended. On the roads are queues on the M1 southbound to Junction 5 at Watford. It's after an accident. The road is partially blocked and those delays go all the way back to the M25. Slow on the A13 westbound to the Gorsbrook interchange, and that's where a lorry's broken down. Also delays on the North Circular Road both ways in Ealing, and that's because of the ongoing works. In Tooting, the Mitcham Road is closed both ways after an accident. On the trains, there are severe delays on the Elizabeth line between Whitechapel and Shenfield, and minor delays on the Metropolitan line at Chesham.
LBC.
Right, what's for dinner tonight?
Co-op's new meal range served is prepped and ready for easy cooking. Choose from a selection of classic mains and sides, and dinner is served for two. All for just £8 for Co-op members. Co-op. Owned by you, right by you.
Ends 24th of March. Selected products. Co-op group membership required. Subject to availability. T's and C's and range at co-op.co.uk/served.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. This is LBC.
At AJ Bell, we believe every customer deserves brilliant service, which is just one reason we're rated excellent on Trustpilot. And we all trust pilots with their smooth, captainy voices that make you feel like you'd let them land anywhere they like. Sorry, where was I? Right, AJ Bell, rated excellent by sexy pilots. I mean Trustpilot. I'm a flight risk. AJ Bell, feel good investing. The value of your investments can go up or down.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after seven, as is often the case, after three, four, 5 days of conflict, some of the newspapers, I'm only going to share some of the headlines with you, some of them moving on to other events. The Daily Telegraph, arguably one of the most sickening pictures you'll see during the conflict, of some of our MPs, including the new Green MP, she's not alone, so she's not the only one, deciding to do a cha-cha. That's on the front page. There's Angela Rippon. Now, Angela Rippon's perfectly free to do the cha-cha. She's a television personality, but it seems rather extraordinary that the Speaker of the House, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, and it's reported dozens of other MPs decided to come dancing with the world, possibly inching towards some ghastly conflagration. That's the front page picture of the Daily Telegraph there. Stories Miliband led the revolt to Trump's Iran war. This is a suggestion that it was our long-standing friend Ed Miliband who decided that to go that legalistic route. The Guardian tells us that now at least 87 dead as the US sunk an Iranian ship near Sri Lanka, the first deployment of a torpedo in warfare by the US since 1945, the last year of the Second World War. Other papers are getting very excited, rightly or wrongly, about this alleged China crisis, or China spy probe, I should say. Labour ensnared in China spy probe is the front page of the Daily Mail and the Daily Mirror. The MP, I've never suspected my husband. Politician's wife defends a lobbyist after three arrests. We'll give you more details on that. To the LBC app, which gives you all the latest details, particularly focusing on the fact that that Royal Navy warship HMS Dragon will not be setting sail until next week. As one of you has already pointed out, HMS Dragon is the only ship we can't get stopped. We can stop getting across the channel. The only ship we can stop getting across the channel would be our own warship, which is a bit of rather embarrassing. Quickly to the websites, and actually they're all rather excited as well about that China crisis. We'll come to that in a minute. Okay, let's get to the calls. Kamel is in Hammersmith. What can you tell me, Kamel? You have experience or you have knowledge of the area. Is that right? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. I was detained by the Iranians back in 2019.
You were detained by the Iranians? Where? In Tehran?
Iran, while I'm a Kurdish-British Iranian, was working in Iran at the time.
What were you doing there, sir?
Research. I'm an anthropologist.
You're an anthropologist, sir. You're doing anthology research, right? Okay.
I was picked up by the security forces, kept 112 days in a solitary confinement.
Right.
Then, in some ways, I think the British government and the Iranian, they reached a deal over a ship. It was seized in Gibraltar by the British Navy. Then I was released. Still, I was sent to court in 10 years and 3 months. And while I was in bail, I find a way to escape and return back.
Good God. So you were detained for 112 days?
It was at the time when Nazani Zaghari and all the other British detainees were there.
I see. I'm getting copy on you now. I have your last name, which I won't necessarily point out. What was the reason that they gave for your detention, Kamel? I'm so sorry, Kamel.
Kamel, yeah. It was a variety of reasons. It came down by the Iranian Revolutionary Court and the intelligence down. I'm trying to topple down the government by doing a... illegal research, dividing ethnic tensions, working on issue of LGBT marriage and female genital mutilation. So it was a long list of...
Yes, I've had copy from a newspaper at the time. You study topics such as child marriage and what's called FGM, female genital mutilation, are sort of some of the areas of your specialities of your research. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, what an incredible story. I'm reading it as I go along. What can you give us about, what intelligence can you give us about the regime in Iran, the sort of circumstances in which you were held, and indeed the position you now see the United Kingdom with its relationship with the United States?
Right. Well, it's a mixed feeling I have. I don't think for a bit the American and the Israelis are in this war for a better or democratic future Iran. They are there as always been for their own games, and of course parties, political, economical, and long years of animosity between them. I think this war is led by Israel. America is providing the manpower, and it doesn't bring any sort of an immediate change to Iran. And by what we're hearing, and we're getting really worried, it's an abridge of a civil war if what they are suggesting, that the Kurdish political, mostly armed groups are pouring in from Iraqi Kurdistan into Iran, that will lead to a bloodbath. And
what would you think, as someone who has knowledge of the area, intimate knowledge of the area, what do you think the future should be for Iran, Camille?
The Iran current regime is wounded. It's like a wounded wolf crying and reaching out. If they come to an understanding, they will go down. As we have an old saying in Kurdish, they will bring down everything with them. So they don't have anywhere to run. They don't have Syria, Iraq, or anywhere to refuge. So anyone who's involved with the Iranian government in some sort of a level, they will fight to the last bullet. And I think the first bullet would the public would hit it, as we've seen it now. Few months. So being happy and enjoyable of killing, supreme leaders and some leaders is a little bit naive. I think that is a long haul. This way, the world is going to engage in a long war.
Fascinating speaking.
You can start a war, but really you can't finish it.
Yeah, that's right. Anyone can decide when to start. It's difficult. Lastly, your view of President Trump.
President Trump, very unreliable. Nobody knows what he does. He's a businessman. He can reach a deal any moment with anyone. So there's no reliability. I give this to our Prime Minister Keir Starmer, not to give in to his bullying attitude. I think that was the right thing to.
You applaud. You think Sir Keir Starmer's got the right stance? Do you?
I do okay. Believe that special relationship has never been a special relationship. It is just something that's to hang on with, to be honest. And I think what most of the European and including the British government doing is the right thing, because you can't deal with President Trump. He's very unreliable.
Coming towards the end of our interview, I recall from having read accounts of the conditions that Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe had to endure in the jail. I think she was put in solitary confinement. She was handcuffed a great deal of the time. A question I've never asked before in my entire journalistic career: what's it like being detained in an Iranian cell?
It's appalling. It's a next level. You're completely cut off from the rest of the world. You are in control of your interrogators. They play all sort of a mind game even for the slightest things that you have to bargain, you have to negotiate, you have to give in to their demands, you have to give in to the replies they would please and put it down in writing. So there's all sorts of games. They go through your personal life, your professional life. They use your family sort of like emotional against you. So they're very well trained, unfortunately. And I'm glad that at least a new Iran would bring about a change of particularly in terms of a human right.
Are they physically abusive? Do they beat you?
They have never beat me, but I believe the scars on a white torture is so-called, the psychological pressure they put on you, it goes a long way rather than the physical.
Briefly, how did you escape?
Well, it's 5 years now. I escaped through mountains of between Iranian and Iraqi Kurdistan.
I mean, did you get out of a window? Did you get out of a van? I mean, how did you get out?
I was released on bail and house arrest. But I found a way to, and then I was helped to come back, and I'm grateful for that.
Well, I'm grateful for your time. The most fascinating conversation. Camille, privileged to speak with you. Thank you. As you've been reading your background. Do please stay in touch, and thank you for that riveting account of your time in an Iranian cell. I'm sorry we've not been able to get to other calls. I promise we shall the other side of the news, but it's not often you speak to someone who's got that life history, have you? I should tell you that news breaking, the wet water regulator Ofwat has said it plans to fine South East Water £22 million over supply failures. We're giving you more details on that and more on the LBC exclusive as well about the asylum seekers and their potential payments. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, here on LBC. 7.30 is the time. News, Dominic Ellis.
The first government chartered flight due to bring Britons home who are stranded in the Middle East hasn't taken off as planned. It was due to depart Oman last night, but it's now understood to be rescheduled for later today. Pressure's building on Keir Starmer to move quicker to deploy defensive capabilities to help UK allies in the Iran conflict. Ministers have told LBC that the warship HMS Dragon won't leave for the Middle East until next week because of essential repairs and maintenance. Breaking news this morning, the regulator Ofwat has fined South East Water £22 million for repeated supply failures. More than 286,000 customers have been impacted by outages between 2020 and 2023. And LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers and their families will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. Around 50 families are expected to take part in the trial, which could eventually save the Home Office £20 million a year. LBC weather dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Some outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents.
Keir Starmer might not be Winston Churchill, but is Donald Trump Dwight D. Eisenhower? Because frankly, the planning and the explanations for the action in Iran have been contradictory and slightly woeful.
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Spring's on the way. And you'll have a spring in your step if you get down to your local Ren showroom right now. With up to 60% off our high-quality, fully built kitchen units, plus up to 7 years interest-free credit, we're made for giving you something to get excited about this March. Ren. Made for living. Offers apply when you buy 5 or more kitchen units. Finance subject to status and minimum spend.
Amazing deals on package holidays. Pay now.
I've got tickets to that sold-out show. Message now.
Your subscription's been suspended. Update your payment details.
Final warning. To receive your package, pay the fee immediately.
Mum, I've had an accident. Please send money.
There's been suspicious activity on your bank account, and I need a few personal details.
Fraud is getting more sophisticated. Always stop, think, and check. Stay ahead of scams at gov.uk/stopthinkfraud.
Danny Dyer's Proper Deal Hotline.
Danny, my mates are in the game and my broadband's gone down. I'm still trying to connect.
No worries. Sky will patch things up proper. Switch to Sky Full Fibre 150. Gets you into the action rapid. Your mates will be jealous of that.
Nice one, brother.
Nice one, brother. Switch to Sky Broadband for £24 a month. Sky's lowest ever price. And get up to £200 towards leaving fees.
Price will increase by £3 a month from the 1st of April 2026 and may change during 24-month minimum term. Offer ends 11th of March. Switching credit with proof of leaving fees paid. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7.33, so much to discuss about this conflict in the Middle East. We'll come to more of your calls, Derek, and we're still, of course, to give you that LBC exclusive about payments, potential payments to migrants to help them leave the country. If we're talking money, let's bring Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, into the conversation. And quite an eye-watering sum of money being demanded by Ofwat. Give us the details. Christian, morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, more farcical scenes in the southeast region, specifically South East Water. Now, that is the company who's been responsible for tens of thousands of homes and businesses being left without water in January for almost a week. Looking back over their track record, the industry regulator has fined them £22 million for multiple supply disruptions to residents in Kent and Sussex, which they say have left people under immense stress and anxiety. Now, this fine applies to problems during 2020 and 2023, so it does not cover the more recent incidents. And I'm sure that the regulator will be poring all over the most recent troubles that we've seen there. Incidentally, the chief executive of South East Water is in line for a £400,000 bonus if he stays in his job until 2030. And it appears that he has no intention of leaving anytime soon. But it is one of the more controversial and high profile for the wrong reasons of our many water companies now facing £22 million fine for problems of a few years ago, even as they contend with problems in the more immediate sense.
And isn't that the reality? And I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but I'm sure my listeners and your readers are absolutely puzzled as to why it takes so long, this extraordinary time. If you and I committed a crime, if you and I went fly tipping or something like that, we could expect to feel the collar, our collars being felt. Wouldn't take them a number of years, would it?
No, that's right. And the government's made a lot of noise about trying to beef up the regulator in the water industry. Of course, it's now a common sight for water bosses to be hauled in front of MPs and MPs vent. And, you know, we've had all sorts of issues with companies, not least Thames Water. But it's South East Water in the spotlight today for this fairly whopping fine. And they must, I have to say, be braced for further such interventions down the line, even if, as you say, it takes a couple of years to get to the point, given the problems with that company that have affected so many people at the start of this year.
Tell you what, this will affect a lot of people, a lot of households. What's potentially coming down the line with interest rates?
Yeah, it's really a potentially dramatic change of fortune for monetary policy in the UK. It's not nailed on, and it is now subject to debate. But just bear in mind that a week ago, Nick, traders in the city were betting on a 90% chance that there would be another reduction in interest rates this month, down from 3.75%. They've been on a downwards trajectory alongside inflation. But what's happening now, traders now anticipate only about a 30% chance, if that, of a rate cut, given the impact on energy prices in particular from the war in the Middle East. And the Treasury and the OBR use a rule of thumb to measure the impact of energy prices, which can take time to feed through to inflation figures, even if they appear to be taking less time to feed through to pump prices. That's another issue. But a 20% increase in gas and oil prices adds 1% to inflation. There's now talk from economists who were poring over the Chancellor's spring statement yesterday. Economists at the National Institute of Economic and Social Research said that there may now be a situation where the Bank of England actually has to raise interest rates. And the Institute for Fiscal Studies have said that markets have basically dismissed the possibility of there being another cut. Banks and economists are wading in. We got a number of banks in the city yesterday recalibrating their own forecasts for the trajectory of interest rate reductions. It would be a real blow to the Chancellor, first of all, if interest rates simply did not were not cut at anything like the pace that people had begun to get used to, let alone if they had to raise them back up to 4%. Nothing's nailed on. It's a question about how persistent the energy price shock might be, but it's certainly a very live issue these days.
You mentioned the Chancellor. There's now a question over her pledge for £1,000 a year for all of us. Christian, remind us what her assertion was and now whether it's going to meet reality.
Yes, she didn't say a huge amount in her spring statement on Tuesday, but one of the things she did want to emphasise was that she believed that households would be £1,000 a year better off by the time of the next election. And as is traditional, a lot of think tanks and experts were poring over the numbers yesterday. The Joseph Rowntree Foundation, which is not exactly a radical right-wing outfit, have said that actually when you take into account housing costs and rent and mortgage, then actual total disposable income will have risen by just £40 a year between 2024 and 2029. And the Resolution Foundation, another left of centre economics institution, has said that the income of an average working age family will fall by 0.5% between 2026 and 2029. They describe the prospect for living standards over the length of this parliament as bleak. And they said that it'll be middle to higher income households that feel the pinch. So the Chancellor has been looking at numbers based on one person's calculations and projections. Other people are looking at other calculations and projections. Basically, there's no consensus, but I don't think anybody believes the fact the Chancellor's claim that we're all going to start to feel and be richer anytime soon.
Christian May, thanks. You're editor-in-chief of City AM. We'll talk around the same time tomorrow, 7:39. Derek in Edgware, I said you'd be the next caller concerning so many aspects of the Middle East conflict. You want to pick up on Sir Keir Starmer, I believe. Good morning.
Hi, thank you for having me. Yes, my question is, if the government doesn't wish to show conviction in terms of supporting America, which I respect but disagree with, why doesn't it show conviction in terms of declaring war, as it were, on the ILGC and the Muslim Brotherhood here in England?
Baffling.
Because they are directly funded by the Iranian regime, and they bring tremendous instability to this country here at home.
Baffling.
And that's why you have a situation where LBC has just done this report of people in England supporting Khomeini and coming out, because money coming into England fosters this Islamist Islam. And yep. That's why you have a situation like this.
I'm totally in agreement with you. You may recall we had the privilege of speaking with the Foreign Secretary at the start of this week, who, of course, before that was the Home Secretary. And she said that she had started the process, but it has to go through the full legal system or legal process before it can come, which I find absolutely baffling. We are our close allies effectively at war with them, and yet we're allowing them to stay here in the streets of, well, sorry, the streets of the United Kingdom.
Absolutely. And it really is, but it's twofold, of course. The ILGC is like the bank of Iran, and they are funding on the street, as it were, the Muslim Brotherhood,
yep.
which creeps into every aspect of Buddhism society. And if we hope and believe, as I really do, that the vast majority of Muslims in this country are peace-loving and are not Islamists,
totally
we need to enable them that they can find confidence in expressing that, you know what, they want to be part of the society, they want to be British, they don't want to be separate.
I absolutely agree. Very well. Tell you what, Derek, and there's no point doing a show such as this if you don't listen to advice from people like you. I will now put that on the list of questions to the Minister, who will hopefully join us in around 10 minutes or so time, Eric. It's not really her brief, but there's no harm in keeping up the pressure. We will revisit it, Derek. I applaud and laud the words you said. Derek, thank you. 7:41. Now, I mentioned the Minister's joining us, and she is going to be talking about this change as regards the illegal migrant system. We have more details now. Sorry, Alex Norris is going to be talking. Change about this system. And I'm joined by Natasha Clark with a related story about asylum seekers and families and possible cash handouts. She told us briefly about that earlier in the hour. Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I told you and the listeners earlier this week the government are considering paying failed asylum seekers more money to leave the country. We currently give more than £3,000 to people to try to speed up their removal. The Danes, however, offer up to £30,000, but only if they leave quickly and cooperate with the system. Now, I spoke to Shabana Mahmood about this last week. She wouldn't give me the exact figure, but I asked her to explain to our listeners why she felt we needed to pay people more to leave and whether she was comfortable with it.
I know it sort of sticks in your craw, basically, to think that you're going to pay people who've come to your country illegally to leave and go back to their home country. To house somebody in asylum accommodation in a hotel, it costs £53,000 a year per person. Paying more than what we currently do is still going to be considerably less than what we're spending on these people staying in asylum hotels. Well, look, I haven't made any final decisions on what the right sum and the right sort of package will be for our country.
But it could be up to £30,000.
It will be more than what we currently offer.
So today, Nick, I can exclusively tell you it will be £10,000 per person, so up to £40,000 per family. And crucially, Nick, this is going to include deporting children, so it's going to be incredibly controversial when Shabana Mahmood outlines this package today. However, there are a few catches if they leave within 7 days and if they return to a country deemed safe. So this will be a pilot, I'm told. There will be 150 families to start with. If it works, the Home Office think that it can be widely rolled out and save £20 million on accommodation and other costs. It would be good to drill
to
the
Alex
Minister.
Norris,
absolutely,
yeah.
Put this to Alex Norris.
What question
exactly
do you want to
where?
Put, what do you want to put to him? What aspect do you think we need to put to Mr. Norris?
Well, firstly, the idea of deporting children, Nick, is going to be incredibly controversial for some Labour MPs. Are they confident that this really is the right one? Obviously, the Danes have got a very different model. Are we confident that that can be replicated and actually save money? Where is this £20 million exactly going to be saved? Because I think people will want to know the details of that. The Home Secretary is also revealing today that if asylum seekers break the law or can support themselves, they won't get access to that taxpayer-funded support, that accommodation. So some MPs, I think, will see that as very appealing. Some will say, well, that's common sense. If they break the law, they should not be allowed to do so. But I think some of these proposals are going to be incredibly radical. Shabana Mahmood, including children in this, I think that's going to get a lot of opposition when it comes when she speaks later today at a speech at the IPPR.
Much to discuss with the Minister when he's with us in about 10 minutes or so time. Natasha Clarke, LBC's political editor, filing that exclusive report. Let's come back to our conversation. Actually, no calls coming in on this already. Let's go to it. Maxine in Leeds. Maxine, you're on the radio. Your view. Good morning.
Nick, well, I just want to say, let's get real about this. What's going on in other countries rather than what's going on in other countries.
Yep,
instead
Natasha's
of hearing
report.
About Iran, Russia, Ukraine and all the other countries, I'm just sick of it. Nick, at the moment, I'm living in a hotel, and that's because of an irretrievable breakdown of a relationship.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I've lost my job as well because of it.
Oh, goodness me. You're living in a hotel that you're having to fund or that is refunded by the local council? What's happening?
It's a local council because of my job that's ended. I'm being funded by the local or whoever pays for it. I'm not happy about that, so let's get that out.
How long have you been in the hotel, Maxine?
Months.
Sorry, the line is, it's one of those nasty, every now and again. Sorry, can you say the number of months again? I don't think you can say anything. Maxine, can you hear me? Oh, God, dear. Okay, we're going to revisit this story. Let's talk to Maxine. When we come back to this story in the next hour, if we could get her to a better area or secure phone line, because we need to hear more of her story. Jordan, you're going to be the next caller concerning events in Iran. That will be a little bit later. Coming up, as we said, we have minister coming on. He's coming on to talk about this asylum handouts, accommodation, and this change in policy there. Also the LBC exclusive. But we also need to find out exactly what's going on with these supposed repatriation flights arranged by the government from the Middle East. Addressed yesterday by Sir Keir Starmer.
Family and friends are worried sick about people who are caught out and will not be put on. I can announce, Mr. Speaker, we will lay on additional charter flights in coming days.
But there seems to be confusion about actually how many have successfully taken off, been successfully completed. We'll try and get more details on that. 7:45, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The first government-chartered flight due to bring British nationals home who want to leave the Middle East hasn't taken off as planned. The regulator Ofwat has fined South East Water £22 million for repeated supply failures. And LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. LBC weather, dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Some outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M1 southbound from the M25 to Junction 6 at Brickett Wood. It was after an accident that happened earlier. All the lanes are open, but it's still very busy. In Tooting, Mitcham Road is closed in both directions after an accident, so that's causing delays. Now, it's still quite foggy in some places this morning. Other places, the fog is starting to lift, but the Woolwich Ferry remains suspended, although that looks like it will start running soon. But lots of flights at London City Airport have been cancelled. On the trains, there are still severe delays on the Elizabeth line between Whitechapel and Shenfield. That was after a signal failure, but the delays on the Northern line have now cleared.
This is LBC.
Get 25% off coffee and pastries at Cafe Nero with Compensa Market. Take it away, Sergey.
I need a Nero. I'm holding out for a Nero to get a flat white. It's gotta be strong, and it's gotta taste good, and it's gonna be made just right. I need a Nero.
Only with the Compare the Market app, the simplest way to save.
When you take out a qualifying product, one membership a year, 25% off barista-made drinks and pastries, app only 2 codes per day, exclusions and T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060973, LBC.
AO members get 10% off hundreds of laundry appliances in AO's Big Spin event. Save a load on brands like Hire, AEG and Hisense. Membership also unlocks unlimited free delivery and free recycling of your old appliance. All from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Join now and start saving at AO.com. Verify at AO.com/trust. Membership charged annually at £39.99.
A Southern train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doomscrolling for telling stories too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save 1/3 with off-peak group tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces.
From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify. Pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
With over 50 years' experience, Fidelity can help you feel confidently invested. Make the most of your annual allowances by the 5th of April with our expert insights, excellent service, and wealth of investment options. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060-973.
Just coming up on 10 minutes before 8. Now, if we're not talking about those concerning global affairs and what might or might not be going on in Iran, much of our conversation, of course, focuses on those seeking asylum in this country, those who've arrived in this country seeking asylum. And there is a sense that more needs to be done. The government would seem to be alive to that, and we're going to hear more later today. And here with some details, Alex Norris, who's Minister for Border Security and Asylum. So we'll hear from the Home Secretary. You're one of her senior colleagues. How much can you give us as a sort of curtain raiser, as it was, to what we'll hear later today, Minister? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Thanks for having me. This is a very important speech from the Home Secretary. She'll be setting out, you know, this is a polarised debate, as you know. You have the nightmare on one hand of Nigel Farage saying Britain will stop providing sanctuary to people who need it. You've got the fairy tale with Zach Polanski and the Greens about open borders. What you're going to see from us is a system that reflects Britain's values, a fair one that provides refuge to those who need it, but a firm one that means that, you know, it's people with protection needs and that people who are here follow the rules. And that's where I think your listeners are. That's certainly where we are.
The headlines are in the papers, you won't be surprised to hear, Minister, one of which is that the Home Secretary is to say those who break the law here who, on asylum seekers, will be thrown out of state-funded accommodation. Can you give us more detail on that?
Again, we support about 107,000 people in taxpayer-funded accommodation whilst they are having their claims assessed, which is the right thing. They'd be destitute otherwise. There are some within that population who have the right to work. There are some within that population who have means. And there's a small number who don't follow the rules. Like, if you can support yourself, you should, you know. And if you are in government-supported accommodation, like my constituents would be, say, in social housing, then you need to follow the rules and, you know, we'll be improving our sanctions in those cases.
How is it to be determined whether these individuals can support themselves, Minister?
Well, I mean, the obvious case would be that there are quite a few thousand within that population who have the right to work. So if they are working, they should. There will be others who have found to be working illegally, and there'll be consequences down the line. But in the meantime, you know, they will have, you know, they will have money as a result of it. So they should use that for that purpose. It's about finding that fair balance.
But if they don't have state-funded accommodation, where will they live? Where will they go to?
Well, that'll be a matter for them if they have money, just like it would be for my constituents when they're removed, from social housing, or if they don't have social housing. You know, if they've got income, they can fund their own support. It's about finding, as I say, that balance of fairness.
OK. Are we looking at, there have been media reports of some of these people who, I think, work in the sort of e-bike industry on food deliveries and others. Are we focusing on individuals perhaps such as those?
Well, that is a big part of it. You know, the illegal working is one of those pull factors that brings people to this country, so that we're in this circumstance where asylum applications are running more than three times what they were last decade, where asylum applications are up across the UK compared to the EU over the last few years. Illegal working's part of that. You know, I've been on the show before talking about the record levels of enforcement that we're doing and the removals from this country that are happening as a result. We're sending a very clear signal to those people: do not work illegally and expect to be in taxpayer-funded accommodation.
One newspaper, The Sun, is reporting today migrants will have to speak English to an A-level standard from next year before they can settle in the United Kingdom. A, is that right? B, how is it to be ascertained whether they have English to that level? Minister.
Well, that relates less to the asylum system and more to the legal migration system. You know, we are consulting at the moment about what level to set English at. We want everyone to speak English, but, you know, that's an established criteria in terms of ability to speak English as to whether it's at GCSE, whether it's at A level above or beyond. So that's something that's been part of that consultation, something we're looking very closely at.
The current level is GCSE requirement, as I understand. It is to go to A-level standard. Who will do the exams? How will that be determined?
Well, it's not the same, Nick, as saying that they need to take an A-level. That's not the same thing. It's
about how will it be determined that it's above GCSE level and has progressed to A-level standard?
In the same way that it is at the moment. At the moment, we assess that judgment as to whether people can speak.
Who does it? Who does those assessments?
Well, it isn't a mass exam sense, is it? It's assessment.
I don't know. If I've just arrived from, I don't know, Syria, do I go and sit down with someone and we have a conversation about Jack went up the hill with his cat or whatever it might be? How is it done?
No. Because, again, as I say, this is different because this is about legal migration as opposed to irregular migration. But at the point at which you are claiming settlement, you will have to demonstrate that you have proficiency to that level, and that will be on you at application point.
Okay. Now, you may be aware that LBC earlier this morning has revealed an exclusive story by my colleague Natasha Clark. Families of failed asylum seekers will be paid up to £40,000 to voluntarily leave the UK within 7 days. That would require, as I say, they'd have to go within 7 days. It would be £10,000 per person, capped at £40,000. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, at the moment, Nicky, you might be surprised, or certainly your listeners might be surprised to hear that the average cost of housing a family in a hotel is £158,000 a year. We're doing a targeted pilot at 150 families that, if is effective in its totality, will lead to a saving of £20 million for the taxpayer. The people we're talking about are families who have failed in their initial application, they've failed in their appeal, they have no live asylum application in this country, and no, frankly, you know, not a future in the country. It's not good for them, not good for the children. So we're supporting them, as has been done before in the past, but we're increasing the levels in this pilot of support up to that number to incentivise them to leave.
That's quite a reward for failure, isn't it?
Well, it's in the British taxpayers' interest, and that's the judgment that we make.
To reward £40,000. Surely this will act as a magnet for more people to try and get to the United Kingdom.
Well, first of all, this is a pilot on people already in the system.
Right.
So there's no pull factor in that element. You know,
if I'm sitting in Calais and I hear, guess what? If you get to the United Kingdom, even if you fail, if you take your wife or husband and two children, they'll give you £40,000 to leave. You don't see that as a pull factor?
No, I don't, because I know what those people are being told already, which is, if you get to the UK and if you fail, they won't be able to fail in your application. They won't be able to remove you. Now, we are making changes, including our domestic interpretation of Article 8 of the ECHR, to make sure that we can remove people. But voluntary removals, which is something that previous governments have done, in fact, I believe, is a matter of political consensus across the spectrum, that's a way in which countries do. Denmark have done it and had fabulous success with it, that we think helps find that balance for the British taxpayer and help those individuals build their lives.
So, just to clarify, the UK government, a husband and wife and two small children, they fail on all the levels, they have crossed the channel on a rubber dinghy, will then send them back with £40,000 in their pockets?
Well, set against, Nick, what the situation today is, which will house them indefinitely, costing £158,000 a year, which do you think is a better deal for the taxpayer?
But if they fail, why are they just sent back without any cash? Why do we have to give them £40,000?
Well,
if
you and
they failed on each of the levels that you've outlined, why do they get a cash reward? This is like the most perverse game show you can imagine.
Well, Nick, part of the policy that we're announcing today is that for those who don't take the voluntary, well, they will be removed. But you know, as I say, this is a balance for the British taxpayer. This is better value for the British taxpayer.
But shouldn't they just be returned without any cash, Minister?
But with respect, Nick, you and I don't affect those returns. Those are very difficult returns to do. I take pelters on the media and in Parliament on this. My ideal level of voluntary returns is 100%, because I'm not the guy who's affecting it on the sharp end of it. I made the assessment, you know, we've made the assessment, that it clearly is in the British taxpayers' interest. This pilot alone could save £20 million.
How do you get to £20 million?
Because that's the difference between the amount of money we will spend on their removal and the amount of money we would have spent on their housing, which, you know, and frankly, that's for an indeterminate period of time. You know, you must appreciate that point, that if people leave rather than spending an ongoing sum of money, which is larger than the sum of money, that there is value in that.
And you're closer to this than I. You're an expert. You honestly don't think people will see this as an extra magnet to try and get to the United Kingdom?
Well, they certainly can't, as I say, on the pilot, because they won't be in scope for it. But as I know already the messages that come from the traffickers, which is, don't worry, Britain won't be able to remove you, and you'll acquire enough rights to eventually get to settle.
If we're talking about people being moved around the world, there was hoped to be a chartered flight for Brits leaving Oman yesterday, and the Prime Minister's made much of rescuing people. It, as my understanding is, it did not take off. Why?
It didn't take off. There were operational reasons why.
What does that mean? Some problem with the plane or what?
Well, these things take time to stand up.
Doesn't take that much time, respectfully. We've all sat on them. Once you start the engines, you're in a fairly good place. So what were the operational difficulties?
Nick, I don't think for one second that you think the aviation from one nation to another involves turning the engine on a plane.
Well, Oman Airways have been able to do it. They've continued flights throughout the conflict. Why can't the British government match Oman Air?
Well, we've had great success working with commercial partners to support those releases.
That's nothing to do with it. Oman Air flies without the involvement of the British government, Minister.
It's
not missed one single flight. So Oman Air has managed to keep going, Muscat, Heathrow. The government charters one. Why did it not take off?
It didn't take off because there are operational reasons about... I'm getting there, Nick, before you shout at
me. Go ahead, Minister.
About getting... passengers on board, and it wasn't able to happen in the time that it had to happen. So that's now going to go today instead. There are other flights going as well. We've been able to support 8 flights out of the UAE yesterday, more than 1,000 passengers.
How many of those were government charters?
Well, those weren't government charters, but those are reliant.
Those Oman Air again, and other airlines, probably Emirates.
But those are reliant, Nick, on in a situation as volatile as this. They are reliant on our work and our support to happen. We must accept that.
I have a degree of sympathy for you here, because you're telling me that you had operational difficulties getting people on the plane, Minister. At every airport across the world today, airlines somehow will manage to get the relevant number of passengers onto a plane, close the door, and take off. The government gets involved, and you can't even do it with one flight. Why?
I mean, again, Nick, that's not quite how international aviation works. Theirs is a tightly regimented and regular schedule of flights in and out of airports.
And we try and do one on a government basis, and it doesn't take off.
Nick, and you know as well as me, as I suspect, you know, you're a frequent flyer. It doesn't always work. Like, in this case, this was a flight stood up in short order. Those people will go. We're supporting them on the ground in the meantime. Mm. I know it's stressful for them, but we will be supporting them to leave.
Lastly on this, why would it appear that HMS Dragon is the only ship we can stop crossing the Channel? It's not going to be deployed until next week. The rubber dinghies cross the Channel with ease. Our great destroyer of our senior service won't move until next week. Why that lamentable fail?
Well, Nick, I can't accept that that's failure. We have, in recent days and recent weeks, we have been building up our defensive capacity, whether that's our radar systems, our air defence systems, whether that's F-35s, and you will have seen the impact in taking out, whether it's threats in the air, threats on the ground. We are augmenting it with HMS Dragon. We are augmenting it with Wildcats. But I think you've seen the impact that the systems that we've put in place have had. You know, we've been very clear.
It is embarrassing, though, isn't it? Come on, you've got serving military personnel. Naval personnel saying this is embarrassing, and they're still serving, Minister.
I don't accept that characterisation.
You really don't think it's embarrassing? It's going to take us the thick end of 2 weeks to get there, the thick end of 3 weeks to get there by the time we set sail.
What I know is we've made that commitment to protect Britain's interests. We stood up capacity ahead of what's happened in recent days. It's been effective, and it's delivered in the last few days as well. And we're building on that. Right. I think that that's the right thing to do, and I think listeners would understand that.
Lastly, what we can do, can we ban the IRGC in the United Kingdom?
Well, we can't proscribe them under current terror legislation because there's a gap in terror legislation. So the independent review has said that we should...
But you are the lawmakers. Yeah,
and we're going to close the gap. We've committed to doing that.
When will that be, Minister?
Well, I'm not responsible for parliamentary timetables, but as soon as as parliamentary time allows, we will. But what I will say in the meantime, Nick, is that we have sanctioned every member of the IRGC. We've sanctioned over 550 people as part of that process. You know, we are taking action, and as parliamentary time allows, we'll close that gap in our legislation.
Grateful for your time. Stricter conditions for migrants receiving asylum support to create a fairer, compliance-based system that works financially for the taxpayers. As outlined by Minister for Border Security and Asylum, Alex Norris, thank you for your time. We're at 8:02. LBC News headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, a government minister has assured LBC that the first UK government chartered plane out of the Middle East will leave later. It was due to depart the Omani capital of Muscat last night. Border Security Minister Alex Norris had just been speaking to Nick.
It didn't take off because there were operational reasons about I'm getting there, Nick, before you shout at
me. Go ahead, Minister.
About getting passengers on board, and it wasn't able to happen in the time that it had to happen.
Alex Norris also defended the speed at which the UK is deploying defensive assets to help allies in the Iran conflict. Mr Norris says efforts are being stepped up to deploy HMS Dragon as quickly as possible. The warship is not expected to leave Portsmouth until next week at the earliest, and it's being reloaded with ammunition. Defence analyst Colonel Simon Diggins has told Nick on LBC this morning the UK is in a disastrous state.
Given the rising tension that we've got in the Middle East, why did somebody not call it and just say, right, can we get one of them at least on ready to move basis so we can get it out there? We removed our last ships from the Gulf in December and January of this year. We haven't got a single ship in the Mediterranean. We don't have a single ship in the Indian Ocean while we've been sitting in the middle of an international crisis.
The Defence Secretary John Healey is due to arrive in Cyprus later following claims the UK is not doing enough to protect the island. RAF Akrotiri was struck by a drone on Sunday on Cyprus, with further attempted attacks intercepted on Monday. LBC understands that defence officials are yet to work out whether the drones were sent from Lebanon or Western Iraq. In other news this morning, LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. Around 50 families are expected to take part in the trial, which could eventually save the Home Office £20 million a year. It's based on a similar system in place in Denmark. There's more on this story on the LBC app. And Ofwat says it plans to fine South East Water £22 million for repeated supply failures. More than 286,000 customers have been impacted by outages between 2020 and 2023. In the city, the FTSE 100 had just reopened at 10,567. It closed up 83 yesterday. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.14. LBC weather dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Some outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
What's the secret to feeling young? Cryo chambers? Vampire facials? Really? The real secret to feeling young, simply living young. And right now you can roll young with £500 off across the SEAT range on top of existing offers, including the fun new SEAT Ibiza and Arona. But this offer won't last forever. Order by the 31st of March. SEAT, rolling young. UK retail customers excluding contract hire, 18 plus. Order by 31st of March and collect by 30th of June. Subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 6 minutes after 8, Thursday, March the 5th. We'll come back to the domestic agenda. You've heard now the government response to that exclusive here on LBC. As regards the cash handouts, the payments, we'll pick up on your response to that. We will come that to back, though, to the bigger story on the global front.
John Healey is today in Cyprus in a bid to calm tensions after anger from some in the country that the UK is not doing more. I'm LBC's Aggie Chambray, travelling with the Defence Secretary.
And as the world, or much of the world, seems to be on the brink of war, what do our MPs decide to do?
Here we go, we're going to turn.
Yes, some of them, including the Speaker, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, decide to go dancing with some Strictly Come Dancing stars. They really are a bunch of cha-cha-cha chancers.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Around 30 minutes ago, you heard the LBC exclusive from our political editor, Natasha Clark, who told us about this scheme to capped at £40,000, but a family, husband and wife, whatever it might be, and their children, £10,000 ahead, but capped at £40,000 if they leave after 7 days they leave the country. As I say, Natasha told us about 30, 40 minutes or so ago, about 15, 20 minutes ago, I was joined by Minister for Border Security and Asylum, Alex Norris. He was putting out forward various other measures, but of course, I say again, he didn't know about the LBC exclusive from Natasha Clark. So what was his response?
Well, at the moment, Nicky, you might be surprised, or certainly your listeners might be surprised to hear that the average cost of housing a family in a hotel is £158,000 a year. We're doing a targeted pilot at 150 families that, if is effective in its totality, will lead to a saving of £20 million for the taxpayer. The people we're talking about are families who have failed in their initial application, they've failed in their appeal, they have no live asylum application in this country, and no, frankly, you know, not a future in the country. It's not good for them, not good for the children. So we're supporting them, as has been done before in the past, but we're increasing the levels in this pilot of support up to that number to incentivise them to leave.
That's quite a reward for failure, isn't it?
Well, it's in the British taxpayers' interest, and that's the judgment that
we
make.
To reward £40,000. Surely this will act as a magnet for more people to try and get to the United Kingdom.
Well, first of all, this is a pilot on people already in the system.
Right.
So there's no pull factor in that element. You know,
if I'm sitting in Calais and I hear, guess what, if you get to the United Kingdom, even if you fail, if you take your wife or husband and two children, they'll give you £40,000 to leave. You don't see that as a pull factor?
No, I don't, because I know what those people are being told already, which is, if you get to the UK and if you fail, they won't be able to fail in your application, they won't be able to remove you. Now, we are making changes, including our domestic interpretation of Article 8 of the ECHR, to make sure that we can remove people, but voluntary removals, which is something that previous governments have done, in fact, I believe is a matter of political consensus across the spectrum, that's a way in which countries do. Denmark have done it and had fabulous success with it, that we think helps find that balance for the British taxpayer and help those individuals build their lives.
So, just to clarify, the UK government, a husband and wife and two small children, they fail on all the levels, they have crossed the channel on a rubber dinghy, we'll then send them back with £40,000 in their pockets.
Well, set against, Nick, what the situation today is, which will house them indefinitely, costing £158,000 a year, which do you think is a better deal for the taxpayer?
But if they fail, why are they just sent back without any cash? Why do we have to give them £40,000?
Well,
if
you
they
and I,
failed and failed and failed on each of the levels that you've outlined, why do they get a cash reward? This is like the most perverse game show you can imagine.
Well, Nick, part of the policy that we're announcing today is that for those who don't take the voluntary, well, they will be removed. But you know, as I say, this is a balance for the British taxpayer. This is better value for the British taxpayer.
But shouldn't they just be returned without any cash, Minister?
But with respect, Nick, you and I don't affect those returns. Those are very difficult returns to do. I take pelters on the media and in Parliament on this. My ideal level of voluntary returns is 100%, because I'm not the guy who's affecting it on the sharp end of it. I made the assessment, you know, we've made the assessment, that it clearly is in the British taxpayers' interest. This pilot alone could save £20 million.
How do you get to £20 million?
Because that's the difference between the amount of money we will spend on their removal and the amount of money we would have spent on their housing, which, you know, and frankly, that's for an indeterminate period of time. You know, you must appreciate that point, that if people leave rather than spending an ongoing sum of money, which is larger than the sum of money, that there is value in that.
And you're closer to this than I. You're an expert. You honestly don't think people will see this as an extra magnet to try and get to the United Kingdom?
Well, they certainly can't, as I say, on the pilot, because they won't be in scope for it. But as I know already the messages that come from the traffickers, which is, don't worry, Britain won't be able to remove you, and you'll acquire enough rights to eventually get to settle.
Minister and Border Security and Asylum Minister. The Minister for Border Security and Asylum, sorry, Alex Norris. Joe in the West Country, £40,000. I don't even earn £24,000 a year, and I can barely pay my mortgage. How dare they incentivise them at all? This one comes in from Christopher. £158,000 to house a family for a year. Wow, let them have my house. In the first hour, Maxine in Leeds called. She was furious. She, unfortunately, as a result of domestic breakdown, is living in council-funded accommodation in a hotel, and then the line broke down. How many months have you been in that hotel, Maxine?
I've been in the hotel 2 months, but I just want to say, the Alex Norris, was it, who you've just
yes,
had on
Alex's
speaking?
Name is
what
Alex
a load
Norris.
Of rubbish.
Right.
He has no idea what he's talking about. And regarding the housing system, we've no houses left because they've all been given to asylum seekers and people who come here with no money in their pocket.
So through no fault of your own, you're living in that hotel, and you hear of people, a single person would be given £10,000 to go back across the channel, a total family of £40,000. Your reaction, Maxine?
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Give me that money. Let me get out of here into a private rental, because that will pay 6 months' rent, will that £10,000 for me?
You were born and bred here, you see, Maxine.
Exactly.
That's why the cash doesn't apply to you.
Yes, exactly, and I understand that. But what I'm saying is, just give me, if you can give it to them, give it to me so I can get my life back on track, so I can go back to work and have a home again and lead a normal life.
Maxine, I wish you can get that all together as soon as you possibly can. I understand your anger, and I'm glad we got you on a better line. Good luck to you, Maxine, and I don't say that glibly. You've been through a lot. Patrick in Romford, your reaction to that interview. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, and thank you for having me. I'm a first-time caller.
Not at all, sir.
I'm absolutely livid, Nick. Absolutely, absolutely. My blood is boiling here, listening to this. Mm-hmm. This ludicrous, ludicrous government, you know, Starmer with his human rights, it just comes through again. Everyone, or most people in this country, they understand like me. You know, we all think the same. You know, you've got to go.
When you say we all think the same, oh, I see. You want regime change in the UK? Never mind.
I do want regime change. Like a lot of people, Nick, this is no secret here. This is no secret.
What is it that specifically has angered you this morning about this particular story, Patrick?
Because what you've just touched on, and the lady that you just spoke to. We are born and bred in this country. We've given this country away, Nick. I tell you, we have not. I haven't personally, but the government, the establishments before, right?
Well, they say, look, it'll save £20 million because housing currently costs, I find this extraordinary, £158,000 a year. That's the rationale. That's the logic. Patrick?
Yep, that's right. And it's taxpayers' money that we didn't sign up to. Did we?
Nope.
None of us. How about the poor, like that lady you spoke to, that poor lady who lives in a hotel?
Yep.
How about all the other people? How about the veterans on the street? How about the families right now, as I'm speaking to you this morning, that can't afford breakfast, that obviously are struggling on the breadline? And we listen to this. We listen to this. This is this country. We've given it away.
Patrick, thank you. Julie in Ashford. Julie, your reaction. Morning.
Good morning, Nick. I'm bloody furious.
I don't blame you.
I have been a nurse most of my working life, and it's taken me years to get a little nest egg of about £20,000.
Yes.
And that's all I've got. And I'm now being told I'm going to be taxed on my pension. What is happening to this country? What?
They would say that saving 20
furious.
Million... I understand, Julie. I can hear it in your voice. Be well, thank you. Lisa, one asylum seeker in a hotel for a year equates to my daughter's three-year university debt that she has to pay with increasing interest. It is all so wrong. Chris in Greenwich, how long does it take a Brit to save £10,000? Years and years, we can see, with people trying to raise a deposit for a flat or a house. Now we're giving it to failed asylum seekers per person. They'll be sending families over left and right. John Lawson says, we are unable or unwilling to stop the boats. We'll give them £40,000 to leave. Where is the sense? We'll continue with this conversation after the 8:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
A government minister has assured LBC that the first UK chartered plane out of the Middle East will leave tonight after being delayed last night. Defence Secretary John Healey is due to arrive in Cyprus later following claims the UK is not doing enough to protect the island. And LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. LBC weather dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. It is still foggy in some places this morning. Other places that fog has lifted. The Woolwich Ferry is now back up and running, but it's still affecting lots of flights at London City Airport and also at Southend Airport. On the roads, it's busy on the A13 westbound to the Gorsbrook interchange, and that's because a lorry has broken down. Delays continue on the North Circular Road both ways in Ealing because of the ongoing works. Also, on the trains, there are severe delays on the Elizabeth line between Whitechapel and Shenfield, and that was after that signal failure that happened earlier at Shenfield. And on southern trains, delays and cancellations continue between London Bridge and Victoria after a signal failure.
This is LBC.
Chase is the digital bank that gives you 1% cash back on groceries.
So can I get cash back on cake mix?
Indeed.
And icing?
Yep.
And sprinkles?
Sure.
And candles?
Yeah. And you can turn all that cash back into a nice birthday treat.
How do you know it's my birthday?
Just a hunch. Get 1% cash back on groceries, fuel and everyday transport when you spend with Chase. Search Chase Bank. 18 plus UK residents. 1% cash back on this debit card spending for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Eligibility and exceptions apply. May be changed or withdrawn.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
At Kia, we know that inspiration begins with a first. Your first job, your first love, your first home. Now it's time for your first drive in the new Kia EV2 at our first drive weekends. It's your chance to be one of the first to test drive the Kia EV2 with its innovative technology and elegant eye-catching design. It's small in size, but big in personality. Discover what driving electric really means. Search First Drive Weekends to reserve your place today.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
My goodness me, the anger is palpable. Lucy, coming to you in just a second. That really is, I have to say. I mean, even those who suggested, what was it they said when Labour came to power? It's good to have the serious people back in the room, or whatever it was, after some buffoonery with the Conservatives. This is absurd. Roll up, get to the country, fail so you are illegal, and we'll give you £10,000 a head, capped at £40,000 for you and your family to go home. £40,000. A sum of money beyond the dreams of savings of so many of you. And as a caller just mentioned, by the way, if you've just about struggled to get there with your pension, don't worry, we'll tax you on that. And at the same time, and we will come to this, the same minister telling us that the one flight the government tried to get out of Oman yesterday, bear in mind, Oman Air, they've not missed a flight from Muscat, Emirates have not missed a flight from other regions, not all, some of them they've missed, but other parts of the region, Emirates not. The government tries one, and literally, it cannot get off the ground. Operational reasons. What are those, minister? We couldn't get the people on the plane in time. I mean, they would struggle to run a bath, this mob. But don't worry, it's good to get the serious people back in the room, we were told. Dear God. Lucy's in Muswell Hill. You're on the radio, Lucy. What can you tell me? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for taking my call. It's absolutely extraordinary. Words fail me. The fact that people are going to pay £1,000 or whatever the going rate is to come across from Calais.
Yep.
They're going to be paid £10,000 per person to leave the country.
Yep.
It sounds like a new carousel. They're just going to be going round and round and round, coming back into the country.
Well, let's put the arguments. It's economic. It makes economic sense because it would cost £158,000, says the government. So we're saving £20 million. Your reaction to that, first, Lucy?
We're not saving any money at all because we've already paid extortionate amounts to lawyers for these people to continuously claim asylum in the first place, where they say, you know, they've tried absolutely every possible route to, you know, or every possible excuse to remain here. So we've paid a fortune out on lawyers, and then we're paying out extortionate amounts on hoteliers. I think somebody needs to actually approach the hoteliers and say, look, that's a room, we're not paying more than £50 a night. We're not paying £1,000 a week for these. Well, it's crazy.
Lastly, this will stop the pull factor. This is what the minister actually said. People in Calais will say, there's no point going because we'll be turfed out and be sent home. That's what he says. I think it's totally wrong the other way
around. No, absolutely not. There's a board. There's going to be a new board at Calais. You know, there's the queue. Let's all go for our £40,000.
Lucy, thank you. Sarah's in Thurrock. Sarah on the radio. Good morning.
Hi, morning, Nick. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller, but long time listener.
Good to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you. So I guess it's almost laughable to me, this suggestion of this way forward, because I'm just thinking, if people are being given that amount of money, they're going to make them quite vulnerable towards traffickers when they leave the country, or if they're going back to countries where it's really unsettled and they have £10,000 or £40,000 in their pocket, mm-hmm. that's going to be quite problematic for the asylum seekers.
It absolutely is. What do you think the impact will be, Sarah?
I think it puts them in danger. It puts them at risk of being trafficked. It also encourages other people to come across and have the same thing.
Well, the government, and, I mean, the minister says it has to be a magnet, doesn't it? Despite what he says, it has to be.
Absolutely. And people have a knack of finding their way around schemes like this and finding loopholes, and they will do the same with this one.
Thank you for that, Sarah. Ian in Woking. Ian, your reaction to this policy as confirmed by the government?
Hi, Nick. Explaining, I'm a veteran.
Military
20 vet. Years in a parachute regiment.
Yep.
And when I left in 1999... I live with seven ligaments to my knee.
Right.
And from by that, I've got hearing problems. Right. And I'm finding it difficult to hear from you now. Anyway, I apply to the veterans, Army Veterans UK, for compensation. But because leaving the forces, if the options was to take a medical discharge.
Yes.
Which was not viable. Second one was to operation on to sort the ligaments. And they discarded that because they explained the ligaments on the cruciate lateral ligaments was like an elastic band.
So you have effectively become disabled in the service of your country. You did not qualify for some form of payout. Your reaction to this, Ian?
Well, my reaction is I applied for compensation and they refused on the grounds that since reviewing my medical records... and this is all because the GP reviewing my medical records, my condition, as they put it, hasn't changed. Well, unfortunately, leaving the forces, my medical condition did change. My whole life changed.
And you're not being recognised for the service that you gave, Ian. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your call. John's in Coventry. John, 8:25 is the time. Your reaction to this story. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ferrari. Hello.
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, none of the Gulf states actually take refugees up because they're not signed up to the convention. It makes more sense for me to sort of say, why don't we look at that option and say, look, you've got to get signed up to this convention like we are.
Sorry, what is the option you'd want to pursue, John?
The 1951 refugee. I've forgotten the name of it. It's a policy that we've signed up to that means we've got to take refugees, but... Why don't the Gulf states sign up to? Because they don't take any refugees in. And
but what's that got to do with this government policy?
Well, it would take the pressure off people in Europe.
Yeah, but I don't understand why Gulf states... Why should they do that to ease our problems?
Because it's religiously aligned, it's culturally aligned, they're sort of...
Oh,
it
I
makes
see
more
what
sense.
You're saying, because some of these... Well, not I've got you now. Not all these people, of course, are Muslims. A lot of people come from other countries. A lot of people come for other reasons. I don't think we can expect the Gulf states to solve our problems. John, thank you. Sandy in Amersham, let's stay with the domestic aspect of this. Sandy, your reaction to this story. Good morning.
Well, good morning. I'm absolutely beside myself with anger at hearing this.
Tell me why.
Because what I heard was, if illegal asylum seekers fail in their appeal, we can't send them back. So what are the figures they've been giving us all this time about we've increased the amount we've sent back? I don't understand. They have to stay forever. So really, nobody ever fails. That, if you follow that course...
Yes, I see what you're saying.
Nobody can fail.
Unfortunately, I don't have the figures to hand. I see exactly the point you're making, and in a way, you've dismantled it even further, haven't you, Sandy?
Yes, because that... I mean, just listening to him, well, if they fail their appeal, we have to house them, we have to keep them. Hang on, what?
Yep. No, I agree. I follow your logic. Thank you for that, Sandy. Michael in Acton. Michael, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Excellent show, as always.
Oh, thank you.
I agree with nearly all of the other callers. I mean, people are going to be incentivised to come across here, you know.
Of course they are. Yeah, the government says they won't. I would say, Michael, it's bloody obvious they will.
Of course they were. I mean, you can't take anything that minister said seriously. I mean, absolutely, you know, he's just talking complete nonsense. Just gaslighting the nation. This is a real problem. I mean, you know, people come over here. If they think they can get 40,000 for a family of four to be here for a week or so, put up at the taxpayer expense, and then return, so many people are going to take that risk. It's going to be like a magnet.
Totally agree with you. They won't have it. I think you and I are right on that. Michael, thank you. John in Newcastle. Give me £40,000. I will happily move out of the UK. Andrew in Barnes, the point you and I were just exploring. Michael, you're right. It is a magnet. It's a consolation prize. That's Andrew in Barnes. This comes in from Mick in Dunstable. We're paying thousands of pounds to people who are here illegally. My mother has to sell her house to pay for her residential care. Why? Jenny in Horsham. Paying migrants to leave is ridiculous. When we pay for their accommodation, the money stays in our country. This way, the money doesn't. It's typical Labour. They don't understand the economy. Well, remember those who told us the sensible people had come back into the room when they came to power? 8:29. Brian's in Rayleigh. Brian, your reaction to this story? Good morning.
Well, I've got to save £100 today, Nick, by not speeding. And if I do it every day this week, it's £700.
I see. This is the rationale of how the government.
Looking at the numbers, they're giving away about 5 or 6 years' income to someone on sort of lower pay, about £15,000 a year. Mm. Taxed now. We're all taxed, of course, up to the hilt. I mean, this is sheer craziness. I mean, I worked abroad, and wherever I went, I had to have a passport, a visa, I had to return tickets for the aircraft, I had the hotel booked, give them the information, and these people are just walking in, and then you're paying them to go, because you're saving money. You shouldn't be here in the first place.
I get your analogy. Yeah, if they acted properly, they wouldn't have to get the £40,000. Thank you for that, Brian. We will move to other stories, but again, I think you're going to hold a lot of our supposed elected lawmakers in nothing but contempt as a result of.
Here we go, we're going to turn. Human race.
Yes, footage of MPs, including the Speaker of the House, with parts of the world now in conflict. British bases being shelled, British military personnel's lives at risk. The Speaker of the House decides to go dancing with Angela Rippon. And I'm not making that up. We'll have more in a moment. 8:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, here on LBC. The news is with Dominic Ellis.
A government minister has assured LBC that the first UK government chartered plane out of the Middle East will leave tonight. It was due to depart the Omani capital of Muscat last night. Border Security Minister Alex Norris has told Nick this morning it didn't take off due to operational reasons. Mr Norris also rejected claims that the UK is embarrassing itself by the time it's taking to deploy defensive assets to the Iran conflict. The minister told LBC that efforts are being stepped up to send HMS Dragon to the Mediterranean. The warship is not expected to leave Portsmouth until next week as it's being reloaded with ammunition. The Defence Secretary John Healey is due to arrive in Cyprus today following claims the UK is not doing enough to protect the island. And in other news, LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. 150 families are expected to take part in the trial, which could eventually save £20 million a year. And South East Water has been fined £22 million by the regulator off what says it's for repeated supply failures over 3 years from 2020. LBC weather dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Some outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
I can't say that I disagree with the Prime Minister. That there was no real plan, I think, is probably a good reason for Keir Starmer not to have got involved with the initial assault. Because I haven't heard from the Americans that there is a plan here for regional stability that means that, if we're going to be very selfish about it, you're not going to see your energy bill rise by 10% in the next few months, or your car be fueled by petrol that is going to cost an absolute fortune.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Lidl's garden season is a go! With new gardening gear every week, from potting and planting to outdoor furniture, 10 weeks from the 5th of March, we're just getting warmed up. Lidl, more to value.
While stocks last, selected stores GB only, in-store from the 5th of the 3rd, 26.
Bring your pensions together with PensionBee and take control of your retirement. Because when your pension is in a good place,
you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd pay off my mortgage and my mum's mortgage.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw. But you forget to pay off those mortgages.
Whoops.
Because you're on a cruise with lots of money.
Money cruise, baby!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search The Birthday Draw and enter now from Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, we've got some great deals for you to make the most of. So you can secure your dream holiday and get the best choice of rooms and hotels. Book now with just a £60 deposit per person. Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. Package holidays you can trust. Patronage protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:34. You can't get a line into the building because of the fury over that migrants deal, and we shall return to that in just a moment. But it's not unreasonable to say that we're on the verge of a possible global conflagration. I don't know if we're inching towards World War III, but certainly British military personnel are on red alert. Bases have been the victim of drone attacks. Members of the armed forces of one of our closest allies, the United States, have lost their lives. And hundreds of innocent Iranians are losing their lives after thousands of Iranians lost their lives in pro-democracy demonstrations. So what did the elected lawmakers in this country, led by the Speaker of the House, Sir Lindsay Hall, how did they decide to spend part of yesterday? You are think it's very good. And when I saw the footage it was sent to me, I thought it was some kind of spoof. It was generated by AI. 40 MPs, including, as I say, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, the leader of the House, the Shadow Culture Secretary, Conservative Nigel Huddleston, his Conservative colleague Caroline Noakes, Labour's Kim Leadbeater, an MP I admire enormously, and the new Green Party MP, Hannah Spencer, there being taught to cha-cha-cha by some Strictly Come Dancing stars. It was, we have to say, in a bid to try and promote better health and promote mobility and to make us all fitter. But was this the day to do it? Well, let's turn to Stella Sentikidou, who's a former Labour advisor, columnist with Labour List, joining me now. I don't think it's the right look. I think it's the wrong look at the wrong time. What say you, Stella? Good morning.
Good morning. It's easy for us to say, oh, why didn't they just pick another day? But the likelihood is that they had organised this months before. And as you said, it is part of a wider initiative that is actually has been endorsed by Wes Streeting, the health secretary. It's called Let's Dance, and it's supposed to promote dancing as a way to, for older people in particular, to improve their core strength and their balance and their coordination. It is a health initiative and a mental health initiative as well. And I think it would have been simply rude for the MPs either to not take part because they were too self-aware about how they're going to come across when you have this 81-year-old veteran broadcaster arriving at Port Coolis House. Presumably, people have been organizing this for quite some time. They have put work into it. It would have simply been unfair. And you can say, of course, but look what is happening in Iran. But can you tell me with certainty that over the last year, there weren't, you can pick one day from the calendar and know for sure that there is not going to be some tragic developments in Gaza, for example, or even something very unpleasant happening here in the UK?
What I would say to you is you're absolutely right. If Angela Rippon wants to turn up and she can dance as much as she likes, I would suggest, and you'll know as well as I do, Stella, if I may call you that, that most of these MPs, if not all, have quite large numbers of staff. Let their staff go and have a dance. Let them get on with their work. I put it to you that if you were an MP yesterday and you had been invited to dance, knowing the events that are going on globally, knowing the pressure and the introspection that's going on among the House, is it appropriate to go and do the cha-cha?
I think it is appropriate because it is your job. So I think that you're looking
at your job to do the cha-cha.
It is your job as an MP to take part in campaigns, and these campaigns often will include things that will be pleasant to look at on social media and on TV. And you can say that it is indulgent of the MP to do that. I would argue the opposite. It's actually often it is an MP is putting themselves in a more difficult position. It's something that they are not super comfortable doing. And I can imagine a parliamentary staffer encouraging their boss, for example, saying, hey, just find 10 minutes to go. We've been asked by the speaker. Angela Rippon is going to be very disappointed if nobody's there. It's going to look bad.
Well, with respect to Angela Rippon, who's someone I know, I'm not that worried about her being disappointed. I'm more worried about doing the day job and trying to stop increased involvement in the Iran conflict. Isn't that slightly more important than going dancing with Angela Rippon?
So part of the job of an MP throughout the day is to go from event to event,
right,
and take part in events and take photos. They usually spend about 10 minutes in every event. They don't spend a lot of time. Mm. Presumably in this event, they would have been briefed as well about the campaign. Mm. So I really disagree with you because, again, this is not a campaign... MPs come and dance. This is a campaign about mental health and exercise, yes, for all the people.
I'm grateful for your input. Thank you. Stella Santikudu is a former Labour advisor, columnist to be found at Labour List. It is worth saying that obviously the Prime Minister wasn't there, the Health Secretary, the Defence Secretary, or any of their shadows. I'm not being rude. It was, shall we say, further down the list. Apart from Sir Lindsay Hoyle, who took prime spot with Angela Rippon. I mean, presumably he's got another trip to the Virgin Islands booked. But Sir Lindsay Grass Hoyle dancing with Angela Rippon. It is out of the thick of it, isn't it? Adrian's in Ainsford. Adrian, were you an MP, would you have gone dancing yesterday morning? Good morning.
No, I would have not, Nick. I think it's disgraceful that in a time of world crisis we see our key political leaders doing something like that. I understand the issues of personal health and well-being, but I think it's just totally... inappropriate, and it just shows that our political elites are living in a Westminster bubble, totally disassociated with how most people are having to live.
I think what you say is right, that any of them, yesterday morning, when it came up on their diaries, or their colleagues said, or in Sir Lindsay's case, Sir Lindsay, just to remind you, Sir Lindsay, before you chair Prime Minister's Question Time, you are going dancing with Angela Rippon. Sorry? Mm. You are due to go dancing with Angela. Well, I think we better reschedule, don't you? I mean, that's surely what you do, Adrian.
Exactly, I totally agree. I would have far rather than seen doing some exercise helping loading HMS Dragon. That would have been a far better use of their time.
Well, that's a good point. As we're readying to send British military personnel to possibly face danger, or certainly put them in harm's way, many of our MPs are dancing. Adrian, thank you. I don't know why this makes me laugh so much. Martin in Sunderland. Send Angela Rippon to Cyprus. She could do a good job defending Iran. I don't know why that makes me laugh. I wish nothing but the best to Angela Rippon, a former LBC presenter. I wish her no personal harm whatsoever. And it's not her fault. She would have been booked by whatever the campaign was. She's, as I know, a tremendous advocate for those who are perhaps in later years. Extraordinarily good dancer, I recall. I think, isn't she in a television advert where she basically performs like a gymnast or something? I can't quite remember, to be honest, but something like that. It's not really her fault. All right, we might return to that, but unsurprisingly, it's the LBC exclusive story revealed in the first hour by our political editor, Natasha Clark, that failed asylum seekers, if they remove themselves within 7 days, will get £10,000 a head from the British government. If it's a family, it's capped at £40,000. Mum, dad and two children, or four or six children, it'll be capped at £40,000. The rationale from the government, if you weren't listening in the first hour, it's economically sensible. It makes economic sense. It'll save £20 million. It costs us £158,000 a year to house these families. Steve's in Southampton. Steve, thanks for hanging on the line. You're on the radio. What do you say? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, I'd like to know if Mr. Norris wants to take any responsibility for the increased incentive to force now children to cross the channel. Because if we're talking about people that don't qualify, fail the asylum at multiple points, so we know that they don't have any genuine status, these are people that are willing to manipulate a system. Is this government willing to accept that, you know, £40,000, as you quite rightly said, that's two adults, two children... Therefore, because I don't agree with them at all that this doesn't incentivise people. It is 100% a magnet. They can say it until the cows come home. But
thank you.
It will
Steve, I thought that, and I'm glad you thought that and others, but the minister just won't have it. Your question, answer to this question is asking, why can't they see this? What are we not making plain to them, do you imagine?
Well, I don't know, but I think this is to pull the wall over our eyes anyway, because they cannot deport people. As that lady, I think it was the previous caller, she said, you know, they're failed and we can't deport them. That's all that this shows up. So what this is going to be a snapshot to say, we managed to get 100 people to leave. Aren't we great? But they can't count them is deportation because they're leaving voluntarily. So this government's going to try to attempt to go, we've got a new way to deport people. You have not deported them. They have removed themselves from the situation, yeah.
And, of course, with a quite an impressive cash enhancement. Steve, thank you. Cecil in Ashford. Cecil, your story. Good. Is that Ashford Kent or Ashford in Middlesex? Where are you?
That's Ashford, Middlesex. Hi, Mick.
Good morning to you too.
Well, I'm from Pakistan. I came here on a work visa about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and I've been working, and now I'm got my ILR for my family, my wife and two kids.
You got
now
your ILR, did you say?
ILR, indefinite leave to remain.
Ah, right. Yeah. Okay.
So
right.
I've got the permanent settled status, but okay. I know people who have come on asylum from my country, and I'm just speaking from that mindset. This is, you are absolutely right in asking the minister that this is going to be a pull factor.
Yeah.
I mean, just to give you an example, a family of four spends about, let's say, £1,000 per person for the flights, £500 per person for visit visa to the UK. So that's £6,000 you spend. You come to the UK, you're here, you are getting allowance, your asylum claim is going through. Till then, your children are getting a decent education. And after 3, 4, 5 years that your asylum claim fails, you go back with £40,000. So you're in a profit of about £26,000. You've spent about 4, 5 years here. Your kids have gotten a decent education. You may have saved some cash for yourself. It's a win-win for anyone who wants to just come to get that £40,000 and go back.
Cecil, can I ask you, what attracted you to come and start a life here in the United Kingdom?
Well, I was offered a position by a charity that works over here, and they sponsored me, and I came over here on that basis.
And is life in the UK everything you hoped it would be? Is it better than you hoped? Is it not quite what you were expecting? How would you define that, Cecil?
Well, if I compare it to my home country, and I'm a Christian minority from Pakistan, so when I compare it in that regards, it's definitely much better over here. The quality of life is much better, but I also see that there are a lot of us Pakistanis who don't integrate into society over here. And that, they sort of ghettoize themselves. And that is something which my principle was, when we come here, we need to swim with the tide. The more we think that we will stay within our own people, the more difficult it will become for us to actually adopt this system.
Cecil, thanks for all the background. Good luck to you and your family. Really interesting. I'm so glad that you've chosen to integrate and enjoy the British way of life. I wish you nothing but success. Nick says, so we pay the border force to collect these people. We pay to keep them. We pay their legal fees to challenge us to an end where they can't remove them. And then we'll pay them to leave. I'd love to know what the total cost is from start to finish and the real costs. Thank you for that. We will stay with that conversation. Plus, the British government said that they would start the flights out of the Middle East. Coming back to that story. Out of the Middle East yesterday. They had one flight, but it didn't take off.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
This was, says the government, due to operational difficulties. They couldn't get the people on the plane in time. I should tell you that 23 of the 33 planned UK flights from the UAE went through yesterday, and Oman Airs have not cancelled a single flight from Muscat. Emirates have had to cancel some, but they've been flying in the region. The British government could not get one plane off the ground yesterday because they couldn't get the people on board in time. They can't even handle that. Plus, also after the news,
Southwest Water admits a criminal offence over the Devon parasite outbreak. I'm LBC's Andy Ballantyne with all the reaction from Brixham.
The 8:45 LBC News headlines now, they're read by Dominic Ellis.
A government minister has assured LBC that the first UK government chartered plane out of the Middle East will leave tonight after an unexpected delay last night. The Defence Secretary John Healey is due to arrive in Cyprus to ease tensions following claims the UK is not doing enough to protect the island. And LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. LBC weather dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Still very foggy in some places. Most places, though, the fog has lifted. But there's still delays and cancellations at London City Airport and at Southend Airport as well. On the roads, traffic's being held on the M25 anti-clockwise just after Junction 6 at Godston. It's because a car's broken down and there are queues on the approach. One lane's also closed on the M23 southbound just after the M25 junction. A car's broken down here as well. The M2's very busy westbound at Junction 5 at Sittingbourne. It was after an accident, but all the lanes are back open. The A13's very slow westbound to the Gawsbrook interchange. A lorry's broken down and Chiltern Railway serves at a standstill at Marylebone.
This is LBC.
What's the secret to feeling young? Cryo chambers? Vampire facials? Really? The real secret to feeling young is simply living young. And right now you can roll young with £500 off across the SEAT range on top of existing offers, including the fun new SEAT Ibiza and Arona. But this offer won't last forever. Order by the 31st of March. SEAT. Rolling young. UK retail customers excluding contract hire. 18 plus. Order by 31st of March and collect by 30th of June. Subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Train to Cambridge and then all aboard the paddleboards. A little bit different, should be fun. All wobbly, all wet.
The wetsuit's a good look on you, Steve.
Oh, actually, this is very relaxed.
George is up the river cam without a paddle.
Train home, that was such a laugh. I think I might even have a new hobby. Download the Thames Link Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thames Link Railway, where every stop is a story.
High-pressure sales tactics, huge site fee increases and a loss of value have left many holiday park homeowners feeling misled, angry and trapped. The Holiday Park Advice Centre can help claim back any money you're owed. Text ADVICE to 78900.
Hello, Holiday Park Advice Centre.
That's ADVICE to 78900.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
Hey, you! Yeah, you! What would you like from your investing app? 6% interest on your ISA, a free share of your choice, or no commission on stocks and ETFs up to €100,000 per month? With XTB, you get all of the above all in one app. The XTB app. Get your free share and start investing with XTB today. XTB, where your money works.
Capital at risk. Investment values can rise or fall. Limited free stock availability. 2% ISA rate boost for 90 days. New clients only. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
9 minutes before nine. We will return. You can't really get a call into the building except for your anger over that proposed migrant deal, and we will come back to that. Now, if you're listening the first hour of the show, you'll know that a fairly sizable fine has been levied against a water company. That's the latest news, but another water company has pleaded guilty of a parasite outbreak. It left more than 100 people ill, discoloured water, and it would appear the problems do not end there. Every which way you turn, there are problems with our water supply. This firm is South West Water. And here with all the details, LBC's Southwest correspondent, Andy Ballantyne, joins us from Brixham, and he attended the court hearing yesterday. Andy, good morning.
Good morning. 2 years on and lots of families here in Brixham still too frightened to drink water from their own taps. Southwest Water pleaded guilty after admitting supplying water unfit for human consumption. The Cryptosporidium outbreak in Devon left nearly 100 people ill. Those are the official figures, but unofficially, numbers are at least four times higher. Lisa Horswell and her husband Chris were hospitalised after being infected by the parasite.
It's great that they've taken some responsibility, but ultimately the fines are just going to be passed on to the consumer. The system's broken.
My body was attacking itself.
parenting, day-to-day living was all impossible. The infection had got so bad at one point we both needed to be at the hospital at the same time.
Around 17,000 homes in Brixham were issued boil water notices at the height of the crisis. The outbreak occurred in the run-up to the May bank holiday and scared off many holidaymakers. Months of hotel bookings cancelled. Residents Tanya Matthews and Mandy Vanstone still don't trust their tap water.
They kept telling us the water was clear, it was nothing to do with the water. I think that a precautionary boil notice should have been put in place until it was investigated fully.
There was a lot of loss of confidence, and we still, like Tanya, our family, we still don't drink tap water.
In a statement, South West Water said, "We want to reiterate our full and unreserved apology. This is another stage of this legal process which we will continue to support." Water Minister Emma Hardy told LBC, "Contamination of drinking water is utterly unacceptable, and the guilty plea is a crucial step toward accountability." The company will next appear in court on June the 2nd when the size of the fine will be decided.
LBC's Andy Ballantyne reporting. It really doesn't matter from whom you get or from which company you get your money, get your water, does it? Whether it's South East, South West, Thames, the quality is appalling. A story to which we shall return. And, of course, I remind you, we did all that campaigning with Fergal Sharkey, the environmental campaigner Fergal, on a Friday as he tested the water in rivers and lakes up and down the country with almost universally depressing, sometimes dangerous results. Maybe return to that. Let's have a quick word on dancing. Judy in Brentwood, regular contributor. I can't believe what I'm hearing, Judy. I'm told by my colleague that you don't have a problem with this.
Well, I don't. I used to teach dancing and I was third in the world at one time.
You were third in the world?
I was, with Latin American.
You were... hold on, stop everything. You were the third best Latin American dancer in the world.
That's right.
Tell me, where did you compete? Where are the world champions?
Well, that one was the Royal Albert Hall. But I taught for the people that brought Latin American dancing over to this country. Their names were Pierre and Lavelle.
Oh, what a lovely... Let's just have a little diversion for a minute or so, because we're talking about war and goodness knows what else.
Yes.
What sort of age did you get? What attracted you to Latin American dancing?
Well, I was first of all a ballet dancer, and I did...
I never knew this about you.
Yes. And you remember, my husband built the Barbican as well.
Right, goodness gracious.
Yes, quite varied.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right.
I didn't do it for my children. Not at all. Not at all. They did all sorts of...
Right.
Anyway,
now,
never mind.
So I respect you, and you have a history, and you're very proficient in dancing, but come on, we come back to the real world now. We had a little diversion there for a while, but these are the people who ultimately... are sent to making decisions that send our military personnel in harm's way, and they're doing the cha-cha.
Yes, and that's what we are. The world wants freedom, so use it, take it away. So come on, Angela, well done to you. Come on, let's have freedom some days.
Judy, this is just for you. I can imagine you dancing around the front room in Brentwood, Judy.
And I can do it now.
Go on, Judy, give us a dance. This really
two,
works on the
three,
radio.
2, 3, 4. And you start on beat 2.
Love it, Judy. Look after yourself. Great talking. Who knew? All the time I was speaking to Judy, one of the world's best ever Latin American dancers, with a bit of the cha-cha or the tango or whatever the hell that was. 9:04 is the time. Well, I've tried to try and abate your anger over this migrant deal. But it's still out there. Mark is in Basildon. And I think it's boiling over with you, Mark, and it's reaching a high temperature, Mark. Mark, good morning.
Morning, Nick. I don't think I'm boiling over. I think it's just laughable, really. And the thing that really gets me is when he said it's in the interest of the British taxpayer. And I think by everyone who's phoned in, I don't think it is in the interest of the British taxpayer, where they're just squandering all our hard-earned money.
So I've been looking at all the... Obviously, my colleagues take the phone calls, but I'm looking at the texts and the emails. There's not one person... And I'm just looking at you. Normally, there's someone who said, oh, you're not understanding this, Nick. This will work because X, Y, and Z. Mark, there's not a single person putting their hand up for this.
No. No, and they say that they want to improve the working life of everyone, and rather than giving us all these so-called savings, and then they squander it in the next stand by giving away 10 to 40 grand to people that, do you know what, give me a dinghy, I'll cross the channel for 40 grand.
Well, I don't want to put your life at risk, Mark, that's the serious point of it. Mark, thank you for that. Ian, this £40,000 is a fool's game. Let's play it through. We pay £40,000. They go home. They get a new house with the money. Their friends say, where'd you get the money from? They say the UK. The week after, five more families arrive in the UK, hoping to be returned with their mortgage paid when they get sent back. Scott in West Hampstead, the £40,000 our inept government offering failed asylum seekers is sheer madness. As a British taxpayer, I think it's absolutely outrageous. Of course it will be a huge magnet for others to illegally cross the channel on small boats. The people traffickers will be rubbing their hands with glee. That's an interesting point, actually. Imagine the people traffickers saying to potential clients, don't worry, we'll get you across for £5,000, whatever it might be. You can't lose, because if you don't get a stay in the UK, they'll give you 10 grand to come back, or if you take your missus or somebody else and your kids, you get 40 grand. Graham in Romford. Graham, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. Yeah, just taking the wind out in sails there.
Oh,
really.
Sorry, sir. Go on.
So it's quite obvious what will happen is that you'll have a young chap here who's here illegally. He'll take his 10 grand, go back home, give some to his brother, who will then buy an airline ticket. No problem. You don't need to go to a people trafficker. No. Just get on an airplane, dispose of your passport en route, flush it down the toilet, arrive in the UK, get another £10,000. They're going to do it for their family. And then it'd be their cousins, everyone. It'll just be
When the government will not accept, as they didn't just now, that is a magnet, what would you say to them lastly, Graham?
They're deluded. Mm. Absolutely off their heads. It's obvious. Everyone just knows what's going to happen.
Graham, thank you for that. We must move on. The conversation now will move to the lack of government-sponsored flights or arranged flights to get people out of the Middle East. As Oman Air have not missed a single flight through the entire conflict, the United Kingdom government couldn't get one off the ground yesterday. Why? Border Security Minister Alex Norris.
It didn't take off. There were operational reasons why.
What does that mean? Some problem with the plane or what?
Well, these things take time to stand up.
But also they had trouble boarding, getting the passengers on board. Plus, in other news, the three men linked to the Labour Party have been arrested on suspicion of spying for China. One is a Labour MP's husband. We'll give you full details on that and remind you, of course, that super embassy is on the way here in London. Those stories and more after the 9 o'clock news.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, a government minister has told LBC the first UK government-chartered plane out of the Middle East will leave later today. It was due to depart the Omani capital Muscat last night. Border Security Minister Alex Norris has told Nick it didn't take off due to operational reasons getting people on the plane.
There are other flights going as well. We've been able to support 8 flights out of the UAE yesterday, more than 1,000 passengers.
How many of those were government charters?
Well, those weren't government charters. But those are reliant.
Those are Oman Air again, and other airlines, probably Emirates.
But those are reliant, Nick, on in a situation as volatile as this. They are reliant on our work and our support to happen.
Separately, Mr. Norris has also rejected claims the UK is embarrassing itself by the time it's taking to deploy defensive assets to the Iran conflict. Ministers say efforts are being stepped up to send HMS Dragon to the Mediterranean as quickly as possible. The warship is not expected to leave Portsmouth until next week, as it's being reloaded with ammunition. It's as the Defence Secretary is due to arrive in Cyprus following claims the UK is not doing enough to protect the island. LBC's Deputy Political Editor Aggie Chambray is travelling with John Healy on the trip and has more details.
His visit, of course, comes after that drone hit RAF base Akrotiri in Cyprus, and two more drones were intercepted too. So John Healy here to meet his Cypriot counterpart. But in terms of what those local ministers are saying, yesterday the High Commissioner of Cyprus to the UK said Cypriots were disappointed. They said the French are coming. The least we expect is Britons to also be present, since we are not only defending Cypriots on the island.
Explosions have been reported across the Middle East overnight as the conflict enters a sixth day. Israel says its air defences have intercepted fresh strikes from Iran. In other news, LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. 150 families are expected to take part in a trial, which could eventually save £20 million a year. It's based on a similar system in place in Denmark. You can read more on the LBC app. And South East Water has been fined £22 million by the regulator, Ofwat says, is for repeated supply failures over 3 years from 2020. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 30 at £10,536. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.14. LBC weather, dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Some outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hey Sainsbury's, we get through so many snacks. Have you got anything to help me save?
Well, we're always matching and lowering prices. So hundreds of Sainsbury's fresh fruit, veg and everyday products are price matched to Aldi. And every week with Nectar, you can save money on thousands of the products your family loves. So you can snack away knowing you're saving money. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us. Selected products, Aldi price match not in NI. Nectar prices require Nectar account. Terms at sainsburys.co.uk/Aldi price match and nectar.com/prices.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call and WhatsApp message now 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Morning, 4 minutes after nine on Thursday, March the 5th. I'll tell you what's coming up in the hour in just a moment because you can go straight to him. We've got a line into our LBC's deputy political editor, Aggie Chambray, joining us from Cyprus. Why are you there? What's on the timetable for today? Aggie, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I am here with the Defence Secretary. I'm in Nicosia, and the Defence Secretary, John Healey, is here after that drone hit RAF base Akrotiri in Cyprus, and two more drones were intercepted. He's also here in a bid to calm tensions after there's anger from some local ministers about the UK not doing more to protect its bases on the island. So John Healey today meeting his Cypriot counterpart, the Greek Defence Minister Nikos Dendias. He's also likely to be visiting British forces personnel protecting the country's interests in the Middle East. So talking about that anger from some local ministers yesterday, the High Commissioner of Cyprus said they're just disappointed in the actions of the UK, saying the French are coming. The least we expect is Britons to also be present, as we are not only defending Cypriots on the islands. And speaking about those drone attacks, Nick, that one that came on Sunday night, about 3 past midnight on Sunday. LBC understands that that drone was not from Iran, but actually the Ministry of Defense doesn't know whether it was from Lebanon or Western Iraq. They think it was from pro-Iranian militia. But it was also understood to be flying so low and slow that it evaded notice. So that's why it hit. They didn't notice it until effectively it hit. Of course, no injuries and minimal damage. But that is partly why Royal Navy Wildcat helicopters, which are armed with drone-busting missiles, are now being deployed within days, because the Ministry of Defence believes they would be able to detect drones similar to these in the future.
Lastly and briefly, Aggie, will he, John Healey, be addressing the fact the delay in getting HMS Dragon down there from Portsmouth?
Nick, I will do literally everything I can to put questions to him and ask those exact questions about that.
Aggie Chambray, LBC's deputy political editor, reporting from Cyprus. Let's bring into the conversation Tom Tugendhat, Conservative MP for Tunbridge in God's Own Land of Kent, and of course a former minister for security, joining me now. Where do we start? We have a ship that will not be ready to set sail until the beginning of next week. We would appear to have a lack of defence for sovereign bases on Cyprus. What does that say, in your view, of the government's handling of our Ministry of Defence needs? Good morning, Mr. Tugendhat.
Morning, Nick. Look, I'm pretty unimpressed, frankly. The reality is this hasn't come as a surprise. We've all seen the build-up of forces in the Gulf. We've all seen the American ships going in there, the planes going in there. Frankly, Twitter has been following every flight, as far as I can tell. And yet, somehow or other, the MOD is astonished that we might have some sort of Iranian counterattack. Really? Seriously? I don't buy it. Look, we have got three ships that could have been launched down there, Dauntless, Duncan and Dragon. And one is leaving in about a week because it's only just been asked to go. Frankly, I asked the Prime Minister about it on Monday and he wasn't even willing to confirm it was going at that point. You know, what we need to see is we need to see these ships being ordered into station a month ago, because frankly, we've known this was coming. Now, the problem is this isn't just about protecting Akrotiri and Deucalia, which is really important because there are service families there who we owe a huge amount to. It's also about making sure that we have real allies in the region who can trust us. If you're the UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi today, what do you think you're asking yourself?
Can I get a view from you? We heard from the Prime Minister his rationale for the position that he took as regards requests from the United States. We heard, if you will, his definition of the special relationship in that they are our close allies, but we don't follow behind on a president's word. Your take on that, Mr. Tugendhat?
Well, he's certainly right that we are not governed by Washington, we're governed by Westminster. But what we need in Westminster is a leader, not a lawyer. And frankly, all I've heard from the Prime Minister is a whole series of excuses as to why he can't do something when his prime responsibility is to keep the British people safe. Now, that means supporting our friends and allies. It means standing up for our citizens who are in the UAE and in other parts of the world. And it means being absolutely robust when somebody threatens to do harm to our service personnel in their homes in Akrotiri and Deucalia. Now, that's what I expect. The idea that this is some sort of, you know, surprise that's come from nowhere, though, is complete rubbish. You know, we've seen this build up. We know what's been happening over months and months. And don't tell me there hasn't been an intelligent picture of this. Look, I'm nearly 2 years out of date from my intelligence days, if you like. But the reality is we have extremely good partnerships in the region. We have extremely effective intelligence personnel. And we know what's going on in many, many parts of the world, particularly in parts of the Middle East.
As a military bloke, how comfortable or otherwise are you with the way the war is currently being waged with the US and Israel?
Well, look, the reason I wouldn't have launched this war is because I remember what it was like the day after in Iraq. You know, in Iraq there was the easy bit when we went in March 03. I wouldn't say it was easy, but if you like, that went smoothly. We knew what we were doing. There were some pretty dug-in enemies and it was pretty hard fighting at various points. But after a number of weeks, it was over. We then had that pause that you get after a war has been fought, where nobody quite knows which way is up. And then people regroup. And I do remember what it was like in February 2004 in Fallujah when those American contractors were killed. And then with the uprisings that we started to see, sponsored by Iran, of course, in Basra that killed so many of my friends. You know, I am worried about the day after. That's why I wouldn't have done it. But look, once the Americans and the Israelis have done it, we don't have to be part of the first wave, but we do have to protect our friends.
Finally, before I let you go, a word, if you would, on another story. A former Labour advisor who's married to a Labour MP is among three men who have been arrested on suspicion of spying for China. You're too young, but we remember the days of Reds under the bed. We seem now to have a Red potentially in the bed. What does that say about our relationship with China, Mr. Tugendhat?
Well, it says, I'm afraid, what I've been saying for far too long, which is that China is a hostile state and is seeking to undermine our democracy here at home. They're not just threatening Hong Kongers. They're not just trying to exert influence and stealing our business and stealing our jobs. They're actually trying to change the way we govern ourselves. And that's why this super embassy is such a, I was going to say, daft idea. It's much worse than that, because it advertises to the entire world that a big red flag flies over London, well, over the city of London anyway, and it's deeply, deeply bad propaganda for us and very good propaganda for the Chinese Communist Party. We need to have stopped that. And instead, what we're doing is we've got a prime minister who goes to Beijing, gets insulted, and then comes home with nothing. At least when the chancellor went a year earlier, she came home with nothing without the insults.
Thank you for your input on both stories. Tom Tugendhat, former security minister and Conservative MP for Tunbridge. Let's stay with events in the Middle East. And if you weren't listening in the first hour of the show, well, if you've been listening throughout the day, you'll have heard on LBC News Bulletin the failure for the government to get its one flight off the ground yesterday to rescue some Brits from the area, the flight to come in from Oman. I remind you for the third time, Oman Air's two daily return Muscat Heathrow flights have continued every day throughout the war. Emirates have obviously had to suspend some flights, but they've been flying in the region. The government couldn't get one flight off the ground yesterday. So when I was speaking for the Minister for Border Security and Asylum, Alex Norris, I asked him why.
It didn't take off. There were operational reasons why.
What does that mean? Some problem with the plane or what?
Well, these things take time to stand up.
Well, the plane doesn't take that much time, respectfully. We've all sat on them. Once you start the engines, you're in a fairly good place. So what were the operational difficulties?
Nick, I don't think for one second that you think the aviation from one nation to another involves turning the engine on a plane.
Well, Oman Airways have been able to do it. They've continued flights throughout the conflict. Why can't the British government match Oman Air?
Well, we've had great success working with commercial partners to support those releases.
It has nothing to do with it. Oman Air flies without the involvement of the British government minister.
You will know.
It's not missed one single flight. So Oman Air has managed to keep going, Muscat Heathrow. The government charters one. Why did it not take off?
It didn't take off because there are operational reasons about I'm getting there, Nick, before you shout at
me. Go ahead, minister.
About getting passengers on board, and it wasn't able to happen in the time that it had to happen. So that's now going to go today instead. There are other flights going as well. We've been able to support 8 flights out of the UAE yesterday, more than 1,000 passengers.
How many of those were government charters?
Well, those weren't government charters, but those are reliant.
Those were Oman Air again, and other airlines, probably Emirates.
But those are reliant, Nick, on in a situation as volatile as this. They are reliant on our work and our support to happen. We must accept that.
I have a degree of sympathy for you here because you're telling me that you had operational difficulties getting people on the plane, Minister. At every airport across the world today, airlines somehow will manage to get the relevant number of passengers onto a plane, close the door and take off. The government gets involved and you can't even do it with one flight. Why?
So again, Nick, that's not quite how international aviation works. Theirs is a tightly regimented and regular schedule of flights in and out of airports.
And we try and do one on a government basis and it doesn't take off.
Nick, you know as well as me, as I suspect, you're a frequent flyer. It doesn't always work. Like, in this case, this was a flight stood up in short order. Those people will go. We're supporting them on the ground in the meantime. Mm-hmm. I know it's stressful for them, but we will be supporting them to leave.
Lastly on this, why would it appear that HMS Dragon is the only ship we can stop crossing the Channel? It's not going to be deployed until next week. The rubber dinghies cross the Channel with ease. Our great destroyer of our senior service won't move until next week. Why that lamentable fail?
Well, Nick, I can't accept that that's failure. We have, in recent days and recent weeks, we have been building up our defensive capacity, whether that's our radar systems, our air defence systems, whether that's F-35s, and you will have seen the impact in taking out, whether it's threats in the air, threats on the ground. We are augmenting it with HMS Dragon. We are augmenting it with Wildcats. But I think you've seen the impact that the systems that we've put in place have had. You know, we've been very clear.
It is embarrassing, though, isn't it? Come on, you've got serving military personnel. Naval personnel saying this is embarrassing, and they're still serving, Minister.
I don't accept that characterisation.
You really don't think it's embarrassing? It's going to take us the thick end of 2 weeks to get there. Thick end of 3 weeks to get there by the time we set sail.
What I know is we've made that commitment to protect Britain's interests. We stood up capacity ahead of what's happened in recent days. It's been effective and it's delivered in the last few days as well. And we're building on that. Right. I think that that's the right thing to do, and I think listeners would understand that.
Lastly, what we can do, can we ban the IRGC in the United Kingdom?
Well, we can't proscribe them under current terror legislation because there's a gap in terror legislation. So the independent review has said
that
we should.
You are the lawmakers. Yeah,
and we are going to close the gap. We've committed to doing that.
When will that be, Minister?
Well, I'm not responsible for parliamentary timetables, but as soon as as parliamentary time allows, we will. But what I will say in the meantime, Nick, is that we have sanctioned every member of the IRGC. We've sanctioned over 550 people as part of that process. You know, we are taking action, and at the as parliamentary time allows, we'll close that gap in our legislation.
Alex Norris, this really is incompetence on a dizzying scale, isn't it? The plane couldn't take off because they couldn't get the passengers on in time. Literally, this is a government that would struggle to run a bath, I sense. In related news,
a vigil was held in Manchester last night mourning the death of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. At the same time, others were partying and celebrating his death. I'm LBC's Chris Chambers with the details.
It's 9:16 LBC News headlines now from Dominic Ellis.
The government minister has assured LBC that the first UK government chartered plane out of the Middle East will leave tonight after an unexpected delay last night. The Defence Secretary John Healey is due to arrive in Cyprus to ease tensions following claims the UK's not doing enough to protect the island. And LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. LBC weather dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The M1's very slow southbound, heading down towards Junction 11 at Dunstable South. It's because a car broke down earlier. Just south of Blackfriars Bridge, Blackfriars Road is closed in both directions, and that's because of an accident, so that's causing delays. Also, still very busy on the North Circular Road in both directions at Ealing, and that's because of the ongoing works. It has been very foggy this morning. It has lifted in most places, but there's still delays and also cancellations at London City and Southend airports. So if you are due to fly from either of those airports, do check with your airline before setting off to the airport. And Chiltern Railway services are disrupted to and from Marylebone.
This is LBC.
Our Queen Nana and her iron strong will. Request list as long as her arm for a funeral. Luckily, a co-op funeral care appointment, a chat, a bit of structure, turned 1,000 royal requests into one brilliant way to honour Nana.
If it's hard to know where to start, we're here to help every step of the way. However you choose to say goodbye, we help you own it. Co-op. Owned by you. Right by you. Search Co-op Funeral Care for your nearest funeral home.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
People ask me, what's my good place? Down the park, having fun with Toby, my cockapoo. And knowing that my pension with Pensionbee is managed by experienced money managers. So, not chasing the stick then, Toby? No?
At Pensionbee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionbee.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
If you were missold a home on a holiday park, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive compensation. Text ADVICE to 78900.
A Thameslink train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doomscrolling for telling stories too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save 1/3 with off-peak group tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
AO members get 10% off hundreds of laundry appliances in AO's Big Spin event. Save a load on brands like Hotpoint, Beko and Hoover. Membership also unlocks unlimited free delivery and free recycling of your old appliance. All from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Join now and start saving at AO.com. Verify at AO.com/trust. Membership charged annually at $39.99.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming to your calls concerning the inability to get one flight off the ground. Just one. Other airlines. So Oman, interestingly, not lost one flight. Emirates is cancelling some flights. The government, they couldn't get the passengers on board on time. I mean, extraordinary. We'll come back to that. And, of course, the failure to prescribe or to ban the IRGC. We'll return to that. But in a related story, a vigil commemorating the death of the Ayatollah on Saturday took place in Manchester. Police were involved, and here with a full report. Chris, LBC's Northwest correspondent Chris Chambers joins me now. Chris, what took place last night? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. This was in the Ardwick area of Manchester, close to the university. And on one side of a barrier amid high security, you had people lighting candles and mourning the death of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. There were tables with tea lights on, condolence messages asking people to share what they admired most about him. There were pictures of the former leader and signs saying things like, "You can kill the man, but you can't kill the ideology." There was a sign with what looked like bloodied handprints and the words "killed by the US and Israel," and there were people laying flowers and little trinkets. But whilst this was going on, there was a full-scale party taking place literally 10 yards away by people celebrating his death. There were people on each other's shoulders, there were hundreds of Iranian flags flying, and I spoke to some of the people who were there.
We're just gathering to say thank you to Trump for making an action against the Islamic Republic.
How do you feel about everything that's happened over the last few days?
Obviously, it's very concerning what's happening, but we are for it because we know with the government that uses military weapons against its people, we have no other choice.
We oppose to remembering so-called his death. We prove that we are happy of his death. And we look forward to a better life in Iran.
As well as the singing and dancing, there were pictures of Donald Trump being held up in the air. There had been some tensions between the two groups to start with, but there was a huge police presence, a lot of security. As I went into the vigil, I was accompanied by two stewards who stayed with me at all times, but those attending had been told not to speak to any journalists. The vigil was promoted by the Manchester Friends of Islamic Centre. There had been calls for it to be banned, but Greater Manchester Police said it wasn't breaking any laws and they didn't have any power to stop it from happening.
LBC's Chris Chambers reporting. We'll talk more about the IRGC with callers. Daniel will be the first. But let's talk about flights and flight difficulties, given the problems that the government experienced yesterday, not being able to get that one flight. They say it will. The situation will be restored today. Sue's in Dubai. Sue, what can you tell me? Good morning. How are you? Are you meaning to be there? Are you stuck there? What's the story?
We're on holiday here. We were due to fly home Tuesday. And we are now stuck here with no information of when we're likely to go home.
Where are you? Are you staying in a hotel? Are you staying with friends? Do you have an apartment there? What's the story?
We're staying in a hotel.
Who's paying?
And the hotel has been TUI are paying at the moment.
Right.
We were on a package holiday and they are paying at the moment. They're extending it every 2 days.
So do they give you an indication of when you think you might be getting back?
No, nothing.
Hello, there's someone in the background there. What's his name?
Yes, my husband.
What's his name? What's his
name? Simon.
Does he want to come on the line? Come on, Simon.
No, I'm quite happy in the sun, thank you.
Have you got work to get back to? Have you got, I don't know, pets to look after or whatever?
We're retired, but we were with our friends, and unfortunately, our friend has had a heart attack and is now sedated in the local hospital.
Hang on. The friend you went with, might I ask what sort of age your friend is?
60. She was 60 on Tuesday and had a heart attack on Tuesday.
Do you think the heart attack was caused by these events, or was she not well prior to that?
No, she's been very well. It's a bit, you know, she is very stressful.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Not knowing whether we're coming or going or anything.
Sorry, pardon my ignorance. How are they going to get her home? Because she's presumably going to need medical attention, isn't she, to get her back?
Yes, she's had a stent fitted yesterday. Oh. She's still on a ventilator.
Right, okay. So she's in hospital. Do you know when she might get out of hospital?
Well, we're hoping on Saturday.
Saturday, what are we? Okay, right. And there's no suggestion that they might bring you out Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday?
Nothing.
What do you hear any of these aircraft? Do you hear any of these drones? Do you hear any of the explosions?
It's very quiet. It's very safe. Lots of people walking around. Everybody going around their business as normal. On Friday, I think we heard two explosions, but they were a long way away.
Did you notice any change over the weekend? I mean, was there a degree of nervousness in any way?
No. The roads were much quieter. Apart from that, nothing.
Do you regularly go?
No, it's our first time.
Okay. How likely is it that you would return to Dubai, do you imagine?
Very likely.
Oh, really? You would? You're not put off by this?
No, not at all.
I mean, you know you're going to a part of the world where, sadly, it's not without its issues and troubles.
Yes. I mean, I feel much safer here than what I do in London.
What, even with drones flying over your head?
Yeah.
Where do you live in London?
Well, North London.
All right, okay. Sue, give my best wishes to Simon in the background there. Always have my best wishes to your friend who's sadly in a hospital, and I hope you all get home safely. Stay in touch, Sue. Thank you for that. Let's talk about the IRGC, an action that could be taken surely here in the UK. Jordan's in Waltham Forest. Jordan, your view on that. Good morning.
Hi, I was wanted to talk about my family who's in the GCC as well.
Yes, go ahead. You can do both by all means. Yes,
I completely agree with the previous person who's on the show.
Yes, about banning the IRGC. Just to clarify, yes,
about banning the IRGC. No, I'm talking about my the safety in Dubai currently.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Okay. Yes. Right.
I've got my dad who lives in Dubai, my mum who lives in Saudi Arabia. I've got two cousins who live in Doha.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and they all believe that what's been going, how the media's portrayed it has been quite sensational.
Mm-hmm.
They feel completely safe. I mean, the thing is, they are residents there, so they understand that obviously tourists are scared and they do want them to get
back. Well, I think if a bomb hits a hotel, or a drone, I'm sorry, drone hits a hotel.
It was debris though, wasn't it?
Well, it's not what you go on holiday for, is it, Jordan?
Well, they're not on holiday. They live there.
No, if you're in a hotel, you don't.
Right.
It's not particularly relaxing to have debris hit your hotel and it catches a light.
No, it's terrifying. I imagine it being quite terrifying. But yes. The thing is that the media said is there's hundreds of thousands of people who are desperate to get back. And the thing is, I've spoken to all my family members and their friends and my friends, because I used to live in the GCC as well. None of them, not a single one of them, would return back to the UK, even if they were paid.
Well, let me ask you this. The Foreign Secretary has reported there's about 110,000 people who've registered interest to leave the area. I don't want to use the word desperate.
My family was advised to register, but none of them actually have the intention of leaving.
Okay. So have they registered?
Yeah, they all have registered.
Why would they register if they didn't want to leave?
They were told to register in case things change, but as they stand, they have no intention.
Does that not speak to a level of anxiety?
They're not really stressed. But, I mean, the life is going on.
You might want to register if you want to leave. I tell you what, we're really happy now, but yeah, let's register. That does speak to a degree of anxiety, Jordan.
No, they were advised to register as a precautionary measure.
Yeah, but they don't have to.
I mean, I do know other people who have not registered at all.
Okay. Listen, safely all your family and relatives over there across the whole region. Jordan, thank you for your input on that. We'll talk more about the IRGC. I think I've been slightly misinterpreted by my colleague. Daniel, you'll be the caller on that. But we need to go to other events. And something I was discussing with an MP just a few moments ago, which is the former Labour advisor who's married to a Labour MP among three men arrested on suspicion of spying for China. Obviously, we have to be fairly sensitive because these are live issues. But obviously, reporter Joseph Draper joins me in the studio with all the details. Joseph Draper, good morning.
Morning, Nick. Well, yes, counter-terror police say they arrested three people this week, two in Wales, one in Wales, as part of a probe into suspected espionage related to China. They were all arrested, we're told, on suspicion of spying for the Chinese Communist Party's Foreign Intelligence Agency. A 68-year-old man and a 43-year-old man at two addresses were arrested in Wales and in London. The husband of Scottish Labour MP Joanne Reid, David Taylor, all three, we're told, were questioned in custody. We're awaiting updates this morning on that investigation. They're thought to have worked, all three of them, as advisers in some capacity to Welsh Labour politicians. And this is, of course, after the former Welsh Reform leader Nathan Gill last year was jailed for accepting pro-Russian bribes, and it's prompted the Welsh Conservative leader this week, Nick, to describe Wales as a potential weak link in the UK's national security. David Taylor is reportedly head of programmes at Asia House. That's a think tank promoting engagement between Asia and Europe. And then we've also heard from his wife, Joanne Reid, MP for East Kilbride and Strathaven since 2024. Clearly, Nick, she's distancing herself from this arrest. She's made very clear that she never spoke about China in the Commons, never met with Chinese businessmen or diplomats. And indeed, she said that she had never actually suspected her husband at all, saying, "I am not part of his business activities, neither I nor my children are part of this investigation." We've had, as you would expect, Nick, reaction from the government. Here's Dan Jarvis, the security minister, updating MPs in the House of Commons on the situation yesterday.
I urge all members to read carefully through the guidance that was issued. If honourable members do experience any suspicious or out-of-the-ordinary interactions, whether in person or online, they should report that to the Parliamentary Security Department.
And Nick, as you'd expect, this is raising questions about the potential vulnerability of our democracy to foreign interference. After the collapse of the trial of two other men accused of spying for China last year, Christopher Cash and Christopher Berry, both denying wrongdoing. Now, earlier in the show, Nick, you spoke to Tom Tugendhat, former security minister and Conservative MP for Tunbridge.
It says, I'm afraid, what I've been saying for far too long, which is that China is a hostile state and is seeking to undermine our democracy here at home. They're not just threatening Hong Kongers. They're not just trying to exert influence and stealing our business and stealing our jobs. They're actually trying to change the way we govern ourselves. And that's why this super embassy is such a, I was going to say, daft idea. It's much worse than that, because it advertises to the entire world that a big red flag flies over London, well, over the city of London anyway, and it's deeply, deeply bad propaganda for us and very good propaganda for the Chinese Communist Party. We need to have stopped that. And instead, what we're doing is we've got a prime minister who goes to Beijing, gets insulted, and then comes home with nothing. At least when the Chancellor went a year earlier, she came home with nothing without the insults.
And that we are expecting an update on this investigation from the police this morning, so we will bring you that if and when we get it.
Joseph Draper reporting for LBC. Coming up after the news, we will come to your calls concerning the IRGC, and would also come back to that story about the LBC exclusive in the first hour, the government plan to pay failed asylum seekers £10,000 a head and to further a family up to a maximum of four, so £40,000, to leave the country. Defended by Minister for Border Security, Alex Norris.
We're doing a targeted pilot at 150 families that, if is effective in its totality, will lead to a saving of £20 million for the taxpayer.
And within minutes of Joseph Draper concluding the report, we need to tell you three men, including the husband of a Scottish Labour MP, who were arrested on suspicion of spying for China, have been released on bail, confirmed by the Metropolitan Police. It's 9.32, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, here on LBC. Let's get those news headlines then. Dominic Ellis.
And we'll bring you that breaking news this hour. Three men, including the husband of a Scottish Labour MP, who were arrested on suspicion of spying for China, have been released on bail. David Taylor, who's married to Joni Reid, was one of those arrested at addresses in London and Wales yesterday. A government minister has told LBC the first UK government chartered plane out of the Middle East will leave later today. It was due to depart the Omani capital of Muscat last night. The Border Security Minister Alex Norris has told Nick this morning it didn't take off due to operational reasons getting people on the plane. Mr Norris also rejected claims the UK's been too slow in deploying defensive assets to the Iran conflict. The Defence Secretary John Healey is due to arrive in Cyprus later following claims the UK is not doing enough to protect the island. And in other news, LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. 150 families are expected to take part in the trial, which could eventually save £20 million a year. LBC weather, dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees.
Hey, smart speaker. Play LBC.
Good morning, I'm Nick Ferrari. It's time to get to your calls.
First time caller. A little bit nervous.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for taking my call.
I will say the UK has been very, very uncooperative. This is not Winston Churchill that we're dealing with.
Hear every side of the story.
So we are visiting Dubai on holiday. Unfortunately, the guidance that the UK government and embassy have been providing has been very conflicting.
We have booked five different flights from Dubai to London, and every single one of these flights has been cancelled.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. LBC, leading Britain's conversation.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including Well Man, Well Woman, Well Baby and Well Kid. From Boots, Pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house. Dad! Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use,
interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts, said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Bring your pensions together into one easy-to-manage online plan with PensionBee. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
AO members get 10% off hundreds of laundry appliances in AO's Big Spin event. Save a load on brands like Haier, AEG and Hisense. Membership also unlocks unlimited free delivery and free recycling of your old appliance. All from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Join now and start saving at AO.com. Verify at AO.com/trust. Membership charged annually at
$39.99. Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's talk more about the IRGC. Daniel's in Golders Green. What frustration do you have? The government don't seem to be acting in this area either. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Firstly, can I just say what fantastic coverage of the Iran situation by you and LBC. I'm literally glued to the radio at the moment.
Fantastic. I'm glad we're all doing our job. I'm sure our colleagues will thank you equally for that. We'll try and do our best with, of course, the reporters and everyone else, and the producers are doing what they can. Some of the technical guys are okay. On you go, Daniel.
Yeah, well, Nick, when it comes to the IRGC, we know that not only are they ruthlessly suppressing, oppressing, targeting, executing and imprisoning critics of the regime inside Iran, but they're also systematically targeting and attacking dissidents and opponents of the Iranian regime here in the UK.
Yes.
And that begs the question that why on earth is this Labour government not prescribing the IRGC as a matter of extreme urgency?
Don't know if you heard the minister. It's because we have to follow the legal processes, was his explanation earlier in the show, Daniel.
Yes, Nick, I heard your interview with Government Minister Alex Norris, and frankly, his responses were a disgrace. If I were him, I would be pressing the Prime Minister and the Security Committee, on why on earth we are not prescribing the IRGC. We've got MI5 that, having foiled several plots since 2022 alone, we had an appalling attempted attack on a journalist in Sky News in West London near the Sky News offices, where armed police had to intervene. Nick, I just can't understand what the government is doing.
We'll continue to push ministers on that. I'm totally with you. While I appreciate they can, in a sense, hide behind international law, certainly refuse to give us the evidence on which it's based. As regards domestic law, it does fall to them. Goodness only knows why it can't be hastened. Daniel, thanks for that. Thanks for the kind words to all the teams, the presenters, production teams, the news team, and everyone else. Daniel, thank you. Glyn in North Somerset. No parliamentary time to prescribe the IRGC, a terrorist organisation, while they're dancing. Dancing while they've been awarded a 5% pay rise due to an increase in workload. 2 to 3 weeks to deploy HMS Dragon to Cyprus. How long to deploy the task force to the South Atlantic against Argentina? That's, of course, the Falkland Islands conflict of 1982. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty certain it was 1982. It was deployed overnight, wasn't it, when it was spelled out to then-Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, although there was a degree of confusion. Apparently, it was reported that initially the Admiralty wasn't quite sure where the Falkland Islands were. When they're going to... Are they? Right, quickly send for a map. Where are they? But Margaret Thatcher, perhaps... Some of the decisions we made were to be questioned, but not so much on others. Let's talk about these flights that are not taking off. Tom's in Poole. Tom, this is disappointing at the very least, isn't it? Good morning. Tom, last chance.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. Government can't get a flight off the ground. What does that say? Tom, you can't hear me. Let's try one last time. No, that line's gone. Tom's out in the wilds of Poole. Might be he's out in Brown Sea Island, as I recall, which is near there. Let's come back to the story that we broke in the first hour, and it took off, my goodness, in the previous hour. Now, I was joined by Minister for Border Security and Asylum, Alex Norris, and I put to him the exclusive from LBC that revealed families of failed asylum seekers would be paid up to £40,000 to leave the UK. Now, it's £10,000 per head, maximum of £40,000, so even if it was mum, dad and six children, it's capped at £40,000, and you have to leave within 7 days. I asked the Minister for the rationale behind this.
Well, at the moment, Nicky, you might be surprised, or certainly your listeners might be surprised to hear that the average cost of housing a family in a hotel is £158,000 a year. We're doing a targeted pilot at 150 families that, if is effective in its totality, will lead to a saving of £20 million for the taxpayer. The people we're talking about are families who have failed in their initial application, they've failed in their appeal, they have no live... asylum application in this country, and no, frankly, you know, not a future in the country. It's not good for them, not good for the children. So we're supporting them, as has been done before in the past, but we're increasing the levels in this pilot of support up to that number to incentivise them to leave.
That's quite a reward for failure, isn't it?
Well, it's in the British taxpayers' interest, and that's the judgment that
we
make.
To reward £40,000. Surely this will act as a magnet for more people to try and get to the United Kingdom.
Well, first of all, this is a pilot on people already in the system.
Right.
So there's no pull factor in that element. You know,
if I'm sitting in Calais and I hear, guess what? If you get to the United Kingdom, even if you fail, if you take your wife or husband and two children, they'll give you £40,000 to leave. You don't see that as a pull factor?
No, I don't, because I know what those people are being told already, which is if you get to the UK and if you fail... they won't be able to fail in your application. They won't be able to remove you. Now, we are making changes, including our domestic interpretation of Article 8 of the ECHR, to make sure that we can remove people. But voluntary removals, which is something that previous governments have done. In fact, I believe is a matter of political consensus across the spectrum. That's a way in which countries do. Denmark have done it and had fabulous success with it, that we think helps find that balance for the British taxpayer and help those individuals build their lives.
So, just to clarify, the UK government, a husband and wife and two small children, they fail on all the levels. They have crossed the channel on a rubber dinghy. We'll then send them back with £40,000 in their pockets.
Well, set against, Nick, what the situation today is, which will house them indefinitely, costing £158,000 a year, which do you think is a better deal for the taxpayer?
But if they fail, why are they just sent back without any cash? Why do we have to give them £40,000?
Well,
if they failed on each of the levels that you've outlined, why do they get a cash reward? This is like the most perverse game show you can imagine.
Well, Nick, part of the policy that we're announcing today is that for those who don't take the voluntary, well, they will be removed. But, you know, as I say, this is a balance for the British taxpayer. This is better value for the British taxpayer.
But shouldn't they just be returned without any cash, Minister?
But with respect, Nick, you and I don't affect those returns. Those are very difficult returns to do. I take pelters on the media and in Parliament on this. My ideal level of voluntary returns is 100%, because I'm not the guy who's affecting it on the sharp end of it. I made the assessment, you know, we've made the assessment, that it clearly is in the British taxpayers' interest. This pilot alone could save £20 million.
How do you get to £20 million?
Because that's the difference between the amount of money we will spend on their removal and the amount of money we would have spent on their housing, which, you know, and frankly, that's for an indeterminate period of time. You know, you must appreciate that point, that if people leave rather than spending an ongoing sum of money, which is larger than the sum of money, that there is value in that.
And you're closer to this than I. You're an expert. You honestly don't think people will see this as an extra magnet to try and get to the United Kingdom?
Well, they certainly can't, as I say, on the pilot, because they won't be in scope for it. But as I know already the messages that come from the traffickers, which is, don't worry, Britain won't be able to remove you, and you'll acquire enough rights to eventually get to settle.
It's only listening... That's the relevant minister, Alex Norris. It's only listening for the second time that something else has occurred to me. £158,000 a year to house these individuals. If you divide, you're ahead of me, 158,000 by 300, you get £432 a day for the hotel. Where are we putting these people? The Ritz. This is incredible. This is knocking on for £3,000 a week. Well, you could get to the Savoy or something for that kind of money. Look, I'm not saying they should necessarily stay in a one-bedroom apartment, 20 to a room. £432 a day. And that is how they seek to rationalise it. If you break down that, he says the saving is £20 million. I ask him, how do you get to that saving? He says £158,000 per annum. I wish I'd had more time with him. £158,000 per annum divided by 300. £432 a day. It's hardly surprising you're shown a degree of anger. Sean's in Esher. Sean, your reaction. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I'll tell you what, it's taken me about 20 minutes to stop laughing to call you. It's just an unbelievable farce. With a day, and just to return and try again. You know, they may as well all club together and charter a yacht. go to Cornwall and have a nice time. unbelievable. For me, I tell you what, I'd swim across for that sort of money. I'd have a go. Can I just ask you one simple question, Nick?
Oh, yeah.
Yes or no answer. Is this a spoof?
No, sir. I promise you it's not. And otherwise, the minister would have I love that word, debunked. No, when Natasha Clark brought in the story, we then put it to the minister. I was half ready to say, this was a pilot. No, we've decided against it. Or, yes, we did look at this, but no, it's not. No, not, he didn't back it once, he backed it twice or thrice. Sean, thank you. I'm glad you're chuckling. But, of course, the downside is our taxes continue to go up. Sean, have yourself a good day. We'll have more on that after the 9:45 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
A government minister has told LBC that the first UK government-chartered plane out of the Middle East will leave later today after being delayed last night. Three men, including the husband of a Scottish Labour MP who were arrested on suspicion of spying for China, have been released on bail. And LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. LBC weather dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very busy on the M23 northbound from Junction 9 at Gatwick Airport to Junction 8 at the M25. It's because a van's broken down and one lane is closed. On the Hertfordshire stretch of the M25, it's very busy anti-clockwise from Junction 24 at Porter's Bar to 23 at South Mimms. It's all down to an accident where one lane is closed. On the M1 southbound, there's a lengthy delay to Junction 11 at Dunstable South, and that's because a car's broken down and one lane is closed. Chiltern Railway services aren't running to and from Marylebone to High Wycombe and Amersham following a signal failure, and disruption continues at London City and South End airports because of the fog from earlier.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Maybe we should wait until Mystery Hour, which starts at 12, to work out just how many conflicting reasons for war in Iran have now been given by the White House.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
On your marks, get set, go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling and smoother than your last online date. More confidence, more go in a new hybrid engine with 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast. And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
With an Amex business card, Selena's earning points renovating her skin clinic and refreshing the builders.
14 coffees and 28 sugars, please.
And on new adjustable chairs for every room. And she can use the points to lie back and relax.
Don't put ice cream on your brother's head.
Well, sometimes. And that's because with an Amex business card, your points can go towards holidays and more.
Search Amex business card. Interest, fees and terms apply. Available to UK limited companies and limited liability partnerships. Signatories must be a director or member of the business. Subject to approval.
The Henry sale ends soon. So get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made to measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
A message from TfL.
I saw Alicia's photo in my newsfeed. All I can think of is her family. How they're getting on. If they're getting on. I didn't look when I pulled out, and she never made it home. Sounds crazy, but it felt like her motorbike came out of nowhere. But I know the truth. I didn't look again.
Drivers, take another look, not a life. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Let's, before we come back to our conversation about these cash payouts, as it were, hopefully we've got Tom in Poole on a better line. Tom, you were trying to tell us about your view of the failure to get yesterday's flight up. Let's try again. Tom, morning.
Hello, Nick. How are you, mate?
Good to have you on, sir. What's the point you want to make?
Good. I'm the first to have a knock at this Labour government, but I think it goes deeper than this. I think it's down to the civil service. I think the ineptitude of all the last two governments has been down to just the bloated, rubbish civil service. It's not MPs ringing up to sort out flights, is it? It's the people that...
No, you're right, but they're the ones... I mean, remember Keir Starmer said in the House of Commons that's priority number one. Yvette Cooper, the Foreign Secretary, told me on Monday or Tuesday, said how much work is being done by the Foreign Office. I realise that. They don't actually... But then the people working for them don't deliver. So they want all the praise, and then they don't, if needs be, lean on their staff to make these things happen, Tom. That's the reality, isn't it?
Yeah, I appreciate that. They should be getting them to do the job. But I tell them... seven-year-old to brush their teeth 100 times a day. Still don't make her brush her teeth without me having to walk her to the bathroom and get
it. That's what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, but problem is they can't you can't. The,
well, don't make the promises.
Government had
then.
The problem as well. Well, yeah, 100%, 100%. But then, I think the way the civil service runs, with MPs not being able to hire and fire them to implement their promises, is the main problem. And Liz Truss said the same, and all these other inept MP politicians have all said the same. But yet, we still hammer the MPs rather than the civil service.
I hear what you're saying. But it's the MPs who want the rewards. They want all the praise as and when these flights do take off. And then they have their photographs taken as the families arrive or whatever it might be, or with the military personnel, whatever. So they're happy to get all the praise and the photo calls. Well, when it doesn't work, I would argue it comes back to them. Tom, I'm glad we got you in a better line. Thank you. Let's come back to our conversation about the migrants. I'm grateful to David, who's done some research on this. On the subject of the latest ludicrous government policy, do they have no idea of the value sterling has in the world? Why are they not looking to see what a year's salary is in the country the relevant returnee is heading to? And David, I'll take your figures, and I'm grateful they feel about right. The average annual salary, Afghanistan, £2,500, it would equate to £2,500. Eritrea, the same. Iran, £3,000. Sudan, £1,500, £1,500. Somalia, £800. Vietnam, £2,500. And we're giving them £10,000 a head to a maximum of £40,000. Samira says, this is ludicrous to dish out even more money to non-British citizens out of British citizens' pockets. It's almost like a money laundering scheme. And I'm grateful to Rachel and Bexley, who's some commentators said when Labour returned to power, the sensible people have come. It was the adults are back in the room, not sensible, it was the adults are back in the room. Well, dear Lord, if these are the adults, could we go back to the juveniles and bungling Boris? I mean, not even he came up with an idea of such lunacy that they'll give you 40 grand to leave the country. Robert in Dulwich, you've been hanging on the line. Thanks, Robert. Your view. Good morning.
Hey, Nick, what a great interview when you asked about the pull factor.
Yeah.
I called in to say, because like most people, like, let's be honest, Rick, is it Ricky Gervais, a comedian?
Ricky Gervais, yes, yes.
He's writing the script every morning in the news. Right. Is he in charge of Labour Central Command?
I don't think he is, because, well, it would be a laughing matter, but you know how they pay for all of this, of course, Robert? With increased taxes and closing down pubs.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Listen, mate, I there's no point in arguing with these people anymore. I'm off. I'm going to go.
Where are you off to, sir?
I'm going to UAE. I'm going to go to, it's probably Abu Dhabi. But I've been sort of talking about it for years and planning it and been working on it for a long time. And it's no wonder that so many people are leaving. But I mention that because you remember when Davey said recently, oh, those Brits who have left, they haven't paid any tax or whatever. Well, that's not true. They have paid tax. Mm-hmm. It's just they don't want to pay any more tax for this nonsense. Isn't it interesting? There's money for people who've never paid into the system, who failed on an application, right? They've wasted the country's time and money, and then as a reward, we give them money to go away. Look, it's very simple. Generally, I don't know what's happened, because the left wing was actually a very noble party in its birth, right? It was to look after the workers.
Right.
They've absolutely been hijacked. Yeah, Labour. They've been hijacked by, you know, mentally ill people. And I mean that, well, because they've been brainwashed.
I don't know if they're mentally ill. I would say they follow some rather deluded policies at times, but I don't think we can say they're mentally ill.
Well, okay, we have to be careful what we say these days. But actually, I think they have been brainwashed, and they're ideological to the point where they harm themselves and their own country. What you just heard there was disinformation from a minister. Of course it's a pull factor when you give people 40 grand. That is disinformation. Well, I was in Abu Dhabi recently, spent a lot of time there recently on business. You know what one of the Arabs said to me? He goes, and these people love the UK, by the way. We were there, you know, for a long time. He said, it's not so Great Britain anymore, is it? And Mark couldn't argue with him.
Robert, you don't decide to go, but if you do, happy landings. Do stay in touch. Robert, thank you. Alan shares your disappointment. I've worked 35 years for the same company. I work hard. I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't get home until 4 in the afternoon. I wish I had £40,000. This country is a joke. Same subject. This from, where's your name? Daniel. I was born and bred British citizen with a wife and two kids. I earn over £100,000, but can I get 40 grand to leave? I'll do a one in, one out for that. Billy in Clapham. Billy, what's your story? Good morning.
I'll be really, really quick, and it sounds a bit like I'm rambling, but bear with me. I've been given a Section 8 by my landlord, so I have to leave my house with my three children. I can't afford anywhere. I've looked everywhere, and there's no property available. I've been to my council. They can't help me financially or in any way, shape or form. I basically have to wait for bailiffs to come and evict me and my children and throw them on the street.
How many children, Billy?
Three children. Right,
okay.
Right. Yeah. However, if I tried to claim asylum and my... watched all the tests and everything, and they said, okay, sorry, we can't help you, but have 40k. How is that fair? I've worked since I was 16 years old. I'm going to be homeless with my children. It's not fair. And this is why the country is getting so angry. And everybody's called racist, but we're not racist. We just want to be looked after. And I'm sorry, I'm getting so emotional.
Of course you're getting emotional. Incredibly, you are exactly the sort of person that this would qualify for £40,000 for each of your children.
I understand people need help. I do understand that. And if you're genuinely needed, but just to be given 40k off the cuff is just not fair when I'm trying to work and nobody's helping me.
How old, what are the ages of your three children, Billy?
6, 9 and 13.
And what's it doing for them and their schooling with all this uncertainty about where they're going to live?
My daughter's terrified. She goes, we're going to be on the streets. My 13-year-old thinks she's going to be taken into care because she thinks that I won't be able to look after her and she needs a roof over her head. So she's panicking. She's not going to school. I haven't been trying to keep it away from them because they're so young. And I'm trying to keep it together. But I'm back in my house. And I'm just listening to it, and it's just so not fair. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be like...
You don't have to apologise for anything. You're speaking for so...
I'm scared, Nick. I'm so scared.
I'm sorry you're scared. What is the deadline? Is it this week, or what happens next?
I think I've got about 3.5 weeks to find somewhere. So I better get a winning lottery ticket, I think.
And how will you go about finding somewhere, Billy?
I don't know. It's just private rent. That's all I can do. That's all I can do, but it's so expensive. I mean, even a deposit is like $3,000-$4,000.
Yes. And the government would say, of course, that they're providing childcare and breakfast clubs and whatever it might be for your children, and there are other schemes there that help folks such as yourself. Lastly, Billy, what would you say to them?
It's not enough. I know you are trying. I know everybody's trying. And I know everybody's struggling, but we just need a little bit more. And I know everybody's going, oh, money-grabbing single mother, probably. I'm not. I work. And the help of the wraparound care is fine, but when I'm doing three jobs, I don't see my children.
That's horrific. Billy, I hope over the next 3 and a bit weeks your fortunes change. We'll finish with yours because that's probably the most powerful testimony that we've heard. I wish you and the kids good luck. Billy, thank you. That's it. If you missed the show, listen back on the free Global Player app or the LBC app. You can stay up to date with the latest news, videos and opinions. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. That's us for another day. James O'Brien's The Other Side of the News on LBC. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and just because you knew it was going to happen doesn't make it any easier to deal with when it does. The conflicting accounts of why Donald Trump has elected to go to war with Iran at this point in history are now so multiple and so madly opposed to each other, despite all emanating from the same source, i.e. the White House, that it is almost, well, not perhaps even almost, but it is very, very close to impossible to make sense of why he has done what he's done. And of course, if you're a saber rattler, if you are an Iraq amnesiac, if you are a client journalist for whatever Rupert Murdoch wants to happen in the Middle East next, then you don't worry about the fact that you've got no idea what's going on. You're just certain that you're in favour of it.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, LBC has been told the first UK government-chartered plane out of the Middle East will leave later today. It was due to depart the Omani capital, Muscat, last night. It's understood it didn't take off due to operational reasons getting people on the plane. Border Security Minister Alex Norris has told Nick Ferrari, it's unfortunate, but officials are working to strict deadlines.
Theirs is a tightly regimented and regular schedule of flights in and out of airports.
And we try and do one on a government basis, and it doesn't take
Nick,
off.
And Nick, and you know as well as me, as I suspect, you know, you're a frequent flyer. It doesn't always work. Like in this case, this was a flight stood up in short order. Those people will go. We're supporting them on the ground in the meantime. Mm.
Ministers have pushed back on suggestions the UK's been too slow in deploying defensive assets to the Iran conflict. The Defence Secretary John Healey is visiting Cyprus today, following claims not enough's been done to protect the island. Cyprus was granted independence in 1960, but Britain was given sovereignty over two RAF bases there in return for security guarantees. LBC's deputy political editor Aggie Chambre is with Mr Healey on the trip and has more details.
I am here with the Defence Secretary. I'm in Nicosia, and the Defence Secretary, John Healey, is here after that drone hit RAF base Akrotiri in Cyprus, and two more drones were intercepted. He's also here in a bid to calm tensions after there's anger from some local ministers about the UK not doing more to protect its bases on the island.
Explosions have been reported across the Middle East overnight as the conflict enters a sixth day. Israel says its air defences have intercepted fresh strikes from Iran. In other news, three men, including the husband of a Scottish Labour MP who were arrested on suspicion of spying for China, have been released on bail. David Taylor, who's married to Joni Reid, was one of those arrested at addresses in London and Wales yesterday. Miss Reid says she's never seen anything to make her suspect her husband has broken any law. And LBC can exclusively reveal that failed asylum seekers will be offered up to £40,000 to leave the UK within 7 days. 150 families are expected to take part in the trial, which could eventually save £20 million. There's more on the LBC app. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 26 at 10,549. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.14. LBC weather, dry, sunny and very mild for England and Wales. Outbreaks of rain for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
British Gas have this thing. We call it home care. We'll fix all sorts, and it's unlimited repairs. Expert engineers will solve the upset of boilers not boiling or taps that won't wet. Electrics playing tricks or a pipe that's broke. We're there for everyone. Even blue furry folk. Your home won't feel booby-trapped. It'll feel just like new. British Gas, taking care of things and looking after you. T's and C's apply. Excess options available per repair.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 10 is the time. What are the words that you least want to hear at this moment attached to warnings or negative stories? What are the two words you would least... If I said to you, I've been reading up on what the beep beeps have to say, what would be the two words that struck the most terror into your heart? I don't know. Maybe you, actually, should we hold off for a while on revealing what it actually is to see what suggestions you come up with on 84850 for your text or 03456060973 for the WhatsApp. So I'm reading up. I'm trying to read around a lot at the moment because, you know, what is the point of doing this job if you don't do your very best to understand everything that's going on? But it's a thankless task. Well, it's not a thankless task because it gives you a better ability to explain or understand what is actually going on, but it's a dispiriting task. The more you read, the weirder it gets. Okay, I mean, I'm almost nostalgic for the days when exaggerated claims about the existence of weapons of mass destruction were the only and undisputed rationale for war. I don't mean that the claims were undisputed, perish the thought. I simply mean that the existence of those claims as the rationale for war was undisputed. Why are we going to war in Iraq? Well, they are led by a terrible man. Yeah, but loads of places are led by terrible men. Yeah, but they don't pose a threat to us. Does he? Really? Saddam Hussein? Yeah, absolutely. Seriously, man. Weapons of mass destruction. Seriously, dossiers, all sorts. So that was the undisputed rationale, albeit one that turned out to be false, for going to war in Iraq. I cannot believe I am nostalgic for the days when we were simply misled. Sometimes I come on air at 3 minutes after 10 in the morning? I hit 5 past and I think, why didn't I realise that before I got on the radio? I am nostalgic for the days when we were simply misled. Because the thing about a claim about weapons of mass destruction is that it can be proved or disproved subsequently. Ideally, it can be proved or disproved before you actually launch a war in the Middle East that will have ramifications and impacts generations after you've gone back home again. Some, of course, of us in, or not us, some of them, some of our troops and our allies in body bags with untold casualties and deaths among civilians and soldiers of our latest enemy. But if it is a binary claim about the existence of something, it can be proved or disproved eventually, either quickly or slowly or somewhere in between. If you've got half a dozen and counting conflicting claims about why a war is being undertaken, oh, it's happening again. I'm sorry I didn't work this out sooner. Then you can never be accused of failing or succeeding. Why has Donald Trump gone to war in Iran? Oh, it's to get rid of the regime. No, it isn't. The most likely successor to Ayatollah Khomeini at the moment is, wait for it, Ayatollah Khomeini, his son. He's currently the most likely successor. The other people that were in line for the job, Donald Trump has conceded, have been killed, presumably accidentally. I don't think you deliberately kill the candidates for replacing the bloke that you're trying to kill. That must have been an accident. They must have accidentally killed the people that they had earmarked for doing it. So it wasn't that. There is no threat to the United States of America. That has been established beyond reasonable doubt, but that doesn't stop members of Donald Trump's administration claiming that that's why they've done it. Do you know what Pete Hegseth said yesterday? I just want you to know, all right, I am not going to insert any red herrings into this morning's analysis. Everything I'm telling you has actually happened. I'm not going to get to 10:15 or 10:20 and say to you, oh, by the way, one of those claims was false. One of those claims was me yanking your collective chain. All of the things I'm telling you this morning are true. So the first one you've got is, oh yes, we want regime change. But the bloke most likely to take over is the son of the bloke that we got rid of. Oh, and by the way, we accidentally killed the candidates that we thought might be able to deliver the sort of regime that we could do a little bit more business with. The US Secretary of War yesterday suggested that the reason for this attack was because Donald Trump had a feeling that Iran was going to kill her. I've got them mixed up. No, he said that they did it to get the man behind a plot to murder Donald Trump, and then they provided absolutely no evidence or identity of the man who was secretly plotting to murder Donald Trump. He definitely exists, but he goes to a different school. And then you've got Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, offering you another reason why Donald Trump has gone to war in Iran.
President Trump does not make these decisions in a vacuum.